much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
When a team has 11 block shots like the Lakers do right now, that means they're coming on every penetration.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
But all is God coming through us. That's why I don't mind smoking weed. You know, God obviously put it here for it to grow on the earth for us. Weed is proof that God loves us and wants us to be happy. You happy?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm happy. Are you happy? I'm happy.
I was in the Mekong Delta, calling in airstrikes and breathing napalm while you were swimming around in your daddy's ball sack.
I don't even know what that means.
The reason why I like that hotel is because it's a 5-star or 4-star hotel and it's very clean. And then the girls are just so beautiful. 5'8", 5'9".
And now,
when your life looks at you funny, take the fast lane.
Our feature presentation.
Hey everybody, how's it going?
Good. How's it going for you?
Very well, thank you.
Where are we?
I don't know.
What does that mean? Where are we?
I don't know.
It's like, a little confusing. Usually. I just got sort of
It's the what?
It's the Kevin and Bean Show.
Okay. We're going to take your telephone calls on any topic at 1-800-520-1067. Get us started on the right foot for a new week. It's the Monday edition of Kevin and Bean's What to Do Nephew, and you get on the air and you get a T-shirt. All right, here's all I have to say.
No!
Seriously. Something has to be done. Lisa, do you recognize that sound, or did you not watch a minute of World Cup action?
I didn't watch any World Cup action, but I heard a lot of reports about that sound.
That sound is, I don't know, 50,000, 70,000, however many fans there are in a stadium, and they're blowing on those long plastic, like trumpet-like horns.
Yes. The and African
they,
horn.
And they never, and it's not just, they don't just do it in Africa. I mean, they do it in Europe, everywhere.
Oh, really? Okay.
And they never stop. Ever. So that noise is like the buzzing of bees is in the background of every single game for the entire, you know, hour and a half or 2 hours, however long it is. Yeah.
Well, not just TV viewers are complaining. Oh. I mean, hard to believe the French team, because, you know, they're cheese-eating surrender monkeys. They're already complaining that they couldn't hear their signals on the field and whatnot. You know, they couldn't communicate with the players, couldn't communicate with each other because it was so loud.
Awesome.
And there's a, you know, there is a discussion. I mean, listen to the headlines. Horn blowing, destroying the games. One headline. Yeah. Killing the atmosphere. Ronaldo hits out at vuvuzelas, which is what the horns are called. Stores run out of earplugs. Literally, you can't buy earplugs in South Africa. And apparently, it's not just in the stadiums. Apparently, it's all day long in the streets, too. Players can't get any sleep. It's just nonstop noise. And it's bad. I mean,
I understand being a fan and being loud and all that, but how do you do that? How do you blow like that on that horn for 45 minutes straight?
That's a good question.
I mean, is that fun?
I would think it would be exhausting and you would pass out.
Right.
The only thing I can guess is that no one actually does, is that there are so many people there with horns that some people are blowing and then they're taking a break and other people are blowing. You know, it's just that there are enough going at any one time to make it sound loud.
It just seems
like everybody is blowing all the time, is what I'm saying.
When something happened.
Yes.
Like something
That's
big.
What you would hope.
Right. If there was a goal or something or a great
then
saving.
Then everyone would go crazy with the horns.
Yeah. No, that's not how it works. No. They lay down a bed of that. And then when nothing's happening. And then it goes up from there. But
oh, my God.
That bed does not disappear. And there's been, I don't know, like for the last couple of years, there's been very heated arguments about we should ban these. No, you can't possibly ban these as part of the game. Oh, but they're terrible. They're distracting. The players hate it. The whole thing. And they're, you know.
Well, too late now.
Yeah. 127 decibels, by the way, is how loud those things are.
Compare that for me. I don't know what that.
Yeah, if you get up, next to it, that's how loud they are. Yeah. I don't know if it's one. I don't know if it's one or if that's what it's like in the stadium when they're all going.
Right.
But, it's not ideal. It's not ideal for anyone, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's less than ideal, I would go so far as to say.
I don't love it.
Not thrilled with the sound.
So 4 years ago, no?
It's just, I don't know.
It's way worse now, though.
It might be way worse.
Way worse.
It might be way worse, yeah.
Okay.
But it's been a part of, I don't know, I don't understand that kind of cheering.
Yeah.
Because, like you say, in America, at least, we're used to kind of making noise, but more when we do something good,
right.
And then less when we're not. You know, just lay down a soundtrack of just a bass level of a swarm of bees. Like, that's just normal. Yeah, that's bad.
That's unbelievable.
Here's what you do. If we could just get two or three people to do this, if you see somebody with one of those horns, you just hit the end of it. Just jam it right into the... Just, that word will get around so quick, they'll put those down in a second.
Because that just, shove it right back up their throat?
Yes. Yes.
Oh, I see.
Couple,
okay.
Three times.
Couple.
That's what I'm saying. That's my
There's no problem that can't be solved by violence.
Right.
That's what I like about Kevin's way of thinking.
It is the least smart way to do it, but I think it would be the most effective.
It might be quickly right. done, yeah.
1-800-520-1067 is the number. Time for Kevin Bean's What to Do Nephew. Hit it, Steve.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or 1.
What it do, nephew?
You can call on any topic, and you should. Why don't we start with Damien? He's on line 2, joining us on the Kevin and Bean Show for Monday. Hey, Damien, welcome to the program. What it do?
What it do, nephew? What it do, baby boo?
What it do?
What's going on?
All right, man. Let's talk about 3-2 now with the Lakers series. Oh, my God.
Wait, the Lakers played last night? Yeah, that's painful.
Yeah, man. I don't know, but Kobe did too much in the third, and he didn't get no help, and that was a big part of it right there.
I told Mike when I came in, it was like watching a Cavaliers game last night. You got one guy doing everything, and everybody else standing around going, well, what time's dinner? Where are we heading after the game?
You can almost always tell how the Lakers are going to do by the non-Kobe players. Anyone that's not Kobe, you can tell. If there's two or three of them that are scoring and they're rebounding and stuff, we're unstoppable. But if we count on him to do it, there's no one player that can beat five other guys.
Yeah.
It's not possible.
Kevin, I know you hate them, but are you willing to admit that the Boston Celtics are a great basketball team?
Yeah, they stepped up in the playoffs, especially.
They sure have.
And did what the Lakers were known for, which is closing out games. They've been making plays in the fourth quarter and playing defense, and they deserve it, and it's a bummer.
Well, it is a bummer.
The Celtics have way, way better chemistry than the Lakers have, that's like for sure.
Yeah, I think so, yeah. And their bench comes off, and they provide... I mean, their bench has played better against us sometimes than the starter. It's depressing. But the last two games are here,
right.
And that's the key, so hopefully...
Yeah. That's what but let's face it. Chris Bosh, guaranteed next year, for sure.
Right.
Chris Bosh coming.
Yeah, nope, that's not the case. All right, thank you for the call.
Thanks for the call. All season long, by the way, the Lakers have been able to easily win two games in a row at home. So,
yeah.
I mean, it's certainly 3-2 is not where you want to be, but it's certainly is winnable. That's for sure.
Yeah, it's doable.
Thank you for the call. Let's try, is this Dewan? Amir Johnson from Los Angeles, California on line 3?
Hey, Dewan.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. Hi, Lisa.
Hi, Dewan.
How's it going?
It's your weekend.
Good. Thank you.
How was yours?
Awesome. You got my email since yesterday that I sent a pic that I got a DJ system in my computer.
Yeah, I did see your dozens of emails over the weekend about every minute how you spend it. You're going to be a DJ? You're going to be playing parties or what, Dewan?
Just parties, but I need some more practicing. I need to try to get DJ Omar to help me learn how to become a DJ.
Right. I heard that you wanted him to teach you, but I didn't realize you were going to go out and get your own system.
Yeah, it's for my PC only, but I need to get a laptop. I cannot afford to buy me a laptop, too.
Oh, I see.
Bring a laptop and the DJ system with me to the parties.
That's what you need right there.
What kind of music are you going to be playing at parties, Dewan? Have you thought about that?
Rock, reggae, techno, hip-hop,
everything.
Rap.
He's thought about
it. All right.
It.
So
wow.
sounds,
his list.
Sounds like fun.
As long as the party comes to your house where you have a computer, it's going to be great.
Do you have a DJ name?
Yeah. DJ 90210.
Oh.
And what does a sound card is for your PC means?
What does it mean? Well, you need to put a sound card in order to play sound out of your computer.
Yeah, it's just what it sounds like. It looks kind of like the size of a credit card, but it's a thing that helps the computer make sound, I guess.
Yeah, I need help about that.
Yeah.
Omar.
Well, depending on how old your computer is, you should already have a sound card.
Right, but it maybe needs to be updated to work with the DJ equipment or whatever. I don't know. Yeah.
Okay.
We'll send Omar right over.
have a great time with that. Have a lot of fun, all right, Dewan?
And you got my video too?
Yeah.
Oh, sure yeah.
Your a lot of times.
Your many yeah. videos about what you're looking for in a woman.
Yes.
Yeah. You're getting very specific now, Duan. A long list of things and items that you would like to be true of a woman.
She can't just be white and Christian and living in San Pedro. Now you want her to be a teacher. You want to make sure she doesn't smoke, she doesn't drink. Of course, she has to be able to drive you around. I mean, you're kind of limiting yourself into who will be willing to take on that that job, Duan.
We can still go to parties.
You can still have parties.
Yeah.
All right. She'll be glad to hear that, I'm sure.
All right, Duan. Thank you for the call. We got to go.
And he'll be the DJ, so you got that covered. You got the music covered.
So now if you do go to a party with Duan, if you're dating Duan, you go to the party, he will ignore you because he'll be working.
That's correct. He's got a gig. Let's go to David real quick. Hey, David.
What it do, baby boo?
What it do?
What's going on?
Hey, I was just actually wanted to talk about that. It's good that somebody else is winning other than Jimmy Johnson in NASCAR.
I agree. Do we agree with that?
Sure.
Okay, we're down with that. We're glad.
We're all over NASCAR.
People beat him. Thank you for the call. That's good? Is that good?
Yeah.
Okay. That's good. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Are you kidding me? Unbelievable.
I'm sure you've heard the dog whisper. Cesar Millan is getting a divorce.
Yes.
Yeah, very sad.
Not surprising, though.
Really? Yeah, they've been married a long time.
I know, but I don't know. You watch him, and he teaches people how to be the alpha dog and all that stuff.
He seems like a nice guy, though.
Yeah, no. Well, not
who knows what he's like at home.
Right. That would suck, I would think, because I think he would apply that to all other human beings in his
Probably.
Life as well.
Yeah.
So you'd be at dinner, and he goes, and then you're like, hey, wait, I'm not a dog. Harvey Levin from TMZ.com.
Mm-hmm.
Talking about the weekend. You ruined people's food.
Oh, I hate this.
I love this so much.
But it makes it so hard to go out.
Yes,
to eat
it does.
Afterwards.
It makes it very difficult. Matt Money Smith will be on the program, our former sports guy, talking to the sports.
Mm-hmm.
World Cup and those damn horns and the NBA finals. Mila Kunis on
Oh, my God.
How about that?
Yeah.
So that's coming up as well. And Maria Menounos.
That's what I'm talking about.
Wow.
Off the bell, boy.
Who is a hardcore Celtics fan.
Yeah.
Did you see the bikini picture she tweeted over the weekend? Please tell me you did.
No.
She's unbelievable. I'm telling you, Kevin, if she weren't a Celtics fan, she'd be the perfect woman.
Right. But, see, that's like saying if she had both legs, she could run a marathon. I mean, you can't take away the fact that she's a Celtics fan. That's part of who she is, and it's poisoning the well.
I would be willing to overlook that, I have to tell you. Really? I heard her so much. I'm very excited to have her on the program today.
All right. That's all coming up. We will take a quick break and come back with the Showbiz Beat now.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Monday, taking a look at the Showbiz Beat for a new week. By the way, all I heard about on Friday was how awful the Karate Kid movie looked.
Yeah.
In fact, there were a lot of people on the internet who were trying to get a boycott going at the Karate Kid because it looked so awful.
How'd that work out?
$56 million debut, ladies and gentlemen. $56 million.
The reviews I heard
yes,
were terrible.
They weren't terrible.
I mean, what they said was it wasn't good until Jackie Chan came in.
Hey!
Hey!
And then he was really good, and that helped a lot. So it was okay.
It just looked so bad, but I think we were discounting, last week, I think we were discounting the kid factor.
True.
Movie for kids.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, but... What is it? Jacket on, jacket off? I mean, that sounds filthy for a kid's movie. I don't get that at all. But anyway, Karate Kid, a big surprise how much money it made. $56 million is a huge opening weekend. More than double the number two spot this weekend, which was another 80s remake of The A-Team. And that had, you know, big popular stars in it.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah.
A-Team only made $26 million. They have to be very disappointed with that.
They got my money.
How was The A-Team?
You know, what are you looking for in a movie? I mean, can I
all
say
right, that's all you need to say?
Can I say that it was
good?
That it was good, but I liked it a lot, but not great. It doesn't deserve.
It's not good, but you liked it a lot.
Yes, doesn't deserve my level of liking it.
Oh, really?
It's kind of like, you know how 24 and different shows like that, like Iron Man, for example, is a perfect. That movie was out there, not real.
All levels,
right?
Though.
But you kind of bought into the whole thing because you wanted to, and it's sort of believable.
So this is like that, but not as good.
Well, they start right where Iron Man is on this side of the believable line, and then they just jump with both feet across the line, and then you go, "Wow, okay." So I'm fine with that, but you do have to make a deal with the devil to like it.
Is it, I mean, do they have funny lines? Is it clever?
Yeah, there, it's funny, it's clever, there's a lot of action.
Okay.
You know, a lot of loud noises.
All right.
Loud noises.
I mean, really, I'd
you
say...
You should do reviews for a living.
I'd say it was a 5 or a 6, but I liked it like a 7 or an 8.
I got
a lot of explosions in this movie, I understand.
Yes. Okay. A lot.
Well, $26 million. They must be disappointed. The best thing I heard about is it was in focus. So they
it was. That's true. I can verify that.
Shrek Forever After came in at 3. Get Him to the Greek was 4. Killers 5. Prince of Persia. Then Marmaduke.
Glendale.
Sex of the City 2. Iron Man 2. And Splice rounds out your top 10 at the box office this weekend.
Speaking of the A-Team, Jessica Biel.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's in that movie, and she's hot. She says she tries to stay off the paparazzi's radar, but some limits when it comes to her privacy. But she also occasionally goes out in a made up so that she's looks like she's somebody else. She wears a wig.
Does
or
she
whatever.
Really?
Yeah.
She disguises herself.
Yeah. But she says it's much worse when you get caught in a disguise and then they know that it's you in a disguise than it is just.
That would be embarrassing.
Going out on your own.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
So she used to do that. I don't think she does that quite so much anymore.
I would totally do that, by the way, if I had a paparazzi problem. It must be so annoying to have people following you everywhere you go.
Listen.
And how, you know, even when you hear like Brad Pitt, he talks about he loves Halloween because he can take his kids down any street in New Orleans and not get bugged and
right.
not get photographed because he's anonymous. That must be such, I mean, that's such a luxury that we take for granted.
I hear you.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is interesting. You know, Conan O'Brien has been doing this wildly successful stage tour across the United States. He hasn't been allowed on television, so he got his staff together and took a band out on the road and does a multimedia thing with jokes and he plays music and stuff. Well, he and Jack White did a concert at the end of last week that they recorded and are releasing as an album.
What?
Because Conan O'Brien loves playing guitar, loves being in a band. He and Jack White were out there. They did a bunch of songs, including covers. They did Radiohead's Creep, which is one of the songs that Conan's been doing in concert. They did old-time rock and roll songs by artists like Eddie Cochran and Elvis Presley. They taped it. Jack was there. You know, he runs that record label, Third Man Records. He was there and recorded it on an old-school reel-to-reel tape machine, and they're releasing it on vinyl. Conan also took his comedy show to Bonnaroo over the weekend. He's just getting rave reviews for this thing, though.
Huh.
Just
to, I saw some just clips. It looks so
awesome.
Fun.
It looks really, really funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I just think that's it's so interesting to look. If you ever go to Jack White's website for Third Man Records, the stuff that he puts up there, I mean, it's, you know, it's a boutique label. He can put anything out that he wants, and it's all on vinyl. Almost all of it is on vinyl. He has some CDs, too. But if he likes it, he'll put it out, which is just, you don't see much of that anymore.
Yeah, that is odd.
That's pretty cool.
That is. Diddy is back in the news. As you know, he was in Get Him to the Greek and was great.
I saw that over the weekend. He was awesome.
How shocking was that?
Totally.
Because we've played all of the audio of his videos and stuff, and he's just so hateable, personally.
He was so good in that movie.
He was great. Well, he was just on Nightline, and Martin Bashir, the anchor, asked him if he thought it was appropriate to spend $360,000 on his son's 16th birthday for a car. $360,000.
Are you not entertained? Are you not entertained?
The rapper admitted that his 6 children deserve more of his personal time, but claims they're all well taken care of, attend the best schools, and he doesn't need to explain his parenting to anyone.
Because there isn't any.
Right. Which sounds to me like, you know what? I haven't seen you in the last year and a half. Here's a $360,000 car.
That's ridiculous.
Check back in with me at Christmas.
Oh. Wow.
Can you imagine being his kid?
No, that's kind of sad.
Yeah.
You're set up for some troubles, that's for sure.
Yeah.
And where do you go from your 16th birthday when you have a $360,000 car? What? I mean,
is he going to support these kids for the rest of their lives?
I imagine.
I hope so.
I imagine, yeah. I don't know.
And finally, Lindsay Lohan's got some troubles, my friends. She's a lot like Kevin in that she wouldn't be able to get out of bed and get dressed in the morning unless she had help.
How dare you.
Her assistant has just quit. She got a new assistant recently, and this one quit. It's the latest in a long line of assistants to quit, because imagine how impossible it is to try to keep track of Lindsay Lohan and try to get her to get to the thing. Lindsay apparently is extremely disorganized, and this assistant is the one who makes all of her appointments, has to drive her around all the time because she's not allowed to drive. She's legally prohibited from driving right now, including her alcohol education classes. She needs a full-time assistant. She is incapable of making doctor's appointments. She doesn't show up for work. She needs somebody basically to scoop her up and take her to where she needs to be. And she keeps, and the assistants hate it so much that they quit. So her friends are saying, you know, this is her lifeline. This is the beginning of the end for Lindsay. If she can't get somebody in there to monitor her 24/7, she is going to unravel, and who knows what's going to happen.
Wait, she hasn't already unraveled? This is her together?
I guess unravel more.
Unravel more, yeah. She would be in far worse shape if she did not have somebody getting her to court, for instance, and things like that that she just wouldn't be able to make on her own.
My God.
So be interesting to see what happens. But, you know, in the great tradition of Gary Coleman and others that we have said on this show, don't be surprised when they turn up dead. You know, sad but true, because I think Lindsay Lohan can be saved, but I don't know that there's anybody out there who's got the patience to try to save her.
Yeah.
But not good times for Miss Lohan.
She doesn't make today's it easy on the assistants, that's for sure.
She people sure doesn't. Yeah. I mean, can you imagine what a horrible job that is?
Yeah,
so she'd be waking you up at all times of the day and night to drive her wherever the wanted to go at that time, yeah.
How long would you last in that job?
Go get it.
It's midnight. Leave me alone.
I have a scram bracelet, so I can't drink. You have to go get me some prescription drugs. I mean, that's what it would be all the time.
Yeah.
Here's a great look at musical entertainer celebrating his 49th birthday today, Boy George, ladies and gentlemen, who really looks as good today as he did back when he was famous in the 80s. Boy George is 49 today. Actress Yasmine Bleeth from The Baywatch, who at one time looked bad, but I think she's fought her way back. She looks pretty good these days. Mm-hmm. Is 42. Donald Trump turned 64 today. Actor Faison Love is 42. Oscar-winning screenwriter Diablo Cody is 32 today. And Kevin McHale, who's that guy who pretends to be crippled on Glee. He's wheelchair boy. He turns 22 today, and that is the Ralph Showbiz Beat.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 6:07.
You are listening to the Kevin Beat Show on a Monday. Former sports guy of the Kevin Bean Show, Matt Money Smith, joins us in about 15 minutes or so to break down last night's heartbreaking Laker loss and preview the next two games at Staples Center. How about Cesar Millan, by the way? A guest we've had on this show a number of times. He is an international sensation, Kevin. He sold millions of copies of his dog training books. I've got a couple of his dog training DVDs. He's got
too.
The Dog Whisperer
Wait,
show.
You both have those training DVDs?
It didn't work.
Yeah.
Because you don't do it.
I can't be alpha.
Clearly
not alpha. No,
you're not.
It is so, for folks who have never seen the show and can't imagine why there's a show about a dog trainer, it is unbelievable. The dogs that he goes into somebody's house and they've got, the people have dogs that have had problems, you know, ripping up stuff for 5 years or something like that. It seems like he's there 20 minutes. He whispers in the dog's ear, and the dog is perfectly behaved from that point on. I mean, it really is incredible, the talent that he has, and he has built it into an empire. But that doesn't mean it everything is great in his life, because now he and his wife, Illusion, have filed for divorce. Very sad to see a divorce after 16 years of marriage, and we thought, let's cheer the poor boy up and get him on the phone and talk to Cesar Millan and find out what's going on. Hi, Cesar. Welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show. How are you?
Buenos dias, Kevin. How are you?
Good, thank you.
Well, we're doing fine. Sorry to hear about the sad news about you and your bride.
Yeah, it's heartbreaking. Regardless of how good of friends you're going to stay after a divorce, it's a tough thing to go through.
Right.
Mm-hmm. The statement that you issued said the decision was made after much consideration and time. We remain caring friends, are fully committed to the co-parenting of our boys, blah, 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 blah. Because all celebrities end their marriages and remain best friends.
You got to say what you have to say in the press. But, it's for the best, because we were having our problems. I mean, right from the start, it's been a long marriage, 17 years, but we've had our problems, and it's like, hey, I'm happy to move on to a new phase of my life. Let me just put it that way.
What? So you've been having problems the whole time?
Let me tell you, Kevin. You come home from a long day of work,
right?
And she runs to you out of her kennel, and she jumps up on you, and she's pawing at your legs, and you hit her in the face with a newspaper.
No.
And next, you know, and I look back, and I just say, come here.
Cesar, we're talking about your ex-wife.
Yeah, we're talking about Illusion.
Right.
Okay, let's go back. Kennel? She's in a kennel?
I'm sorry. You?
What? I don't get to talk.
No,
Lisa's out.
See, what I'm saying is, like, you have to be the alpha male with the woman, and you have to show that you are in charge. You are the prom king. You are the trendsetter, the trailblazer. And then they always say, try to talk to you. You're trying to watch the World Cup match, and next thing you know, blah, 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 blah. And then I spray her in the face with the citronella, and still she talk.
Citronella is...
I try so hard to get her to go to the bathroom on the toilet, and next thing you know, she squats right there in the living room. And I rub her face. I rub her face. I grab her by the back of the hair, and I put her face in the pee-pee. And I say, no! No! And I yank her leash, and then I get her the leash.
She's
with
on
the
a
barbed
leash?
Wire, the leash with the barbed wire around it, and I yank, dear, and I yank harder, God, and harder, and harder, and still she talk, and talk, and talk. We have to go visit my mother-in-law this Thanksgiving. We went to your parents last year, and I say, oh, God, you're so dumb. I try to teach her how to swim come summertime, and all she does is fight me with her stupid claws. I don't want to go in the pool. I don't want to go in the pool. And I say, what is going to happen if you fall in the pool and I'm not around, huh? I had to build this gate, and you still don't respect my rules, you stupid bitch. And she also didn't give me the back door.
Is that more important than all of the above?
I'd love to ruin any marriage, my friend.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 6:20.
Let go!
No.
Let go!
Nope.
Let go!
Well, that about subs it up. It's the Kevin Amin Show on a Monday. Former sports guy, the Kevin Amin Show, Matt Money Smith on the phone with us now. Of course, the co-host of the nationally syndicated Petros and Money Show. Hey, are you still working while the P's on vacation in Hawaii, Money? Are you doing it by yourself or are you off too?
Celtics.
Yeah.
Celtics. Sarah.
Yeah.
Celtics.
Yeah.
Sarah.
Yeah.
Money.
I am working. Yeah, P's in Miami. I'm doing the show with Don McLean all week.
Where were you this weekend? I saw your tweet about stopping at an airport in Omaha or something.
Oh, no. I said long flight home from last night because Boston to L.A. is the only flight they can't do direct on their charter. So not only, you know, is it like typically a six-hour flight back to L.A., but you have to refuel in Omaha. So it takes like an extra hour to get back home. So I said, you know, riding on that plane with Kobe after that performance from him and that end result, I just, you know, it sucked when I flew home in 2000. You guys remember this. You talked to me after that win, or after the Celtics won. Remember I was just kind of whispering?
Yeah.
I don't want to sound too loud because someone's going to punch me in the head.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd have been scared to breathe on that flight.
Probably not a good time.
Yeah.
So
exactly.
What happens? I mean, here's the thing that's frustrating. Again, we're talking about the NBA Finals coming back to Los Angeles for game,
six, I guess. Yeah.
What's frustrating is the Celtics are a very, very, very good team. There's a reason why they were the national champions 2 years ago. But, I mean, the Lakers are even deeper than the Celtics. The Lakers should beat Boston, yet it seems like a game like last night is like watching the Cavaliers. You got one guy doing everything and everybody else standing around going, yep, here we are. What's the deal?
Yeah, I think, you know, it's the opposite of what I anticipated was going to happen, and that's the longer the series went, the better it would be for the Lakers because the Celtics are old and they're kind of broken down. Well, the exact opposite has happened. You know, the longer it's gone, Andrew Bynum's knee has become a major factor. I mean, the guy is 7'1". He's dominated this series in the first two games, and he had one rebound last night in 32 minutes.
Yeah.
And that's not because he wasn't trying. It's just his timing's off. He has no explosion to jump up to get those balls because of that knee. So that's a big issue. Lamar Odom is just a head case. I mean, plain and simple. You know, and we had James Worthy on Friday in studio, and I was very surprised to hear him. You know, someone that's still kind of loosely affiliated with the Lakers, he said, look, plain and simple, the guy's a giant disappointment. He said that's just the only way you can put it at this point. You know, to have the body and the skill set that you ought to be a top five player in the league, and to have this result year in and year out is nothing short of...
Is it the Kardashian curse?
No. Hey, it was like that before.
Is that Kardashian going on with Bieber now, or is that just some wacky internet rumor that Kim Kardashian and Bieber...
No. They just had their picture taken together, and Justin has a crush on Kim, but I think she's got to look at him like a little kid.
I heard he had his finger in her butt in that photo.
I don't know about that, Money, but I hope it's true. What about your boy Powell? What happened to Powell last night?
You know, I sent that tweet out at the start of the game. I said, is this Pau Gasol or Travis Knight?
Oh, man.
What happened? I mean, what happened to Powell? I mean, a guy that was probably... We talked about this, I think, a little while ago. He's a guy who's probably challenging after the first two games for finals MVP because he had been so consistent over the course of the entire postseason, and then all of a sudden he's just kind of falling apart. And I don't know if it again falls into that category of the longer the series goes, the more these guys get beat up, the more beating Powell's taking. I mean, look, the guy had 12 rebounds last night. He had 12 points. It's not a Powell line that we're used to. Here's the one thing I always kind of used to say on the post-game show. When Kobe goes nuts like he does in those third quarters, there's almost kind of like a self-fulfilling prophecy there. Like, okay, Kobe's great and his teammates aren't helping him, but his teammates only took four shots in a quarter. You know,
wow.
I mean, what, you know, so is it great that Kobe's going nuts and keeping the Lakers in the game, or is it totally inefficient team basketball because no one else takes a shot, even though they're playing like crap, but no one else even gets into any sort of rhythm? It's like they've been sitting on the bench the whole third quarter.
No, you're absolutely right. That's an outstanding observation. And let me ask you another question that I could be talking about last night's finals game or almost any game throughout any NBA season. Why aren't the pros better at free throws?
That is the best question ever.
Yeah, especially, you know, when you need them most. Like, that was Shaq's line. Hey, look, I'll make them when I absolutely have to make them. Well, I mean, technically, Shaq, if you made them all the time.
Which wasn't true.
But why isn't everybody Ray Allen? That's what I want to know. He's 16 in a row in the finals. He hasn't missed one. That's what I would expect from pros. Why do so many guys get up there and miss them both? What's the deal?
They just got to get into that Rick Barry school of free throws and start grannying them.
Shoot them underhand?
Their legs. Yeah, I honestly can't explain that. I mean, guys like Powell, you know, that are 7'1", the bigger guys, their hands are so big that they just can't shoot a ball that well.
Right, but they
giant dudes don't do all that.
But they didn't get, like, his hands didn't grow seven sizes since yesterday. I mean, he's this has been his life.
I guess you just kind of go by career percentages, you know, and over the course of his career.
Look, I understand why I can't shoot free throws. I'm not a professional basketball player, though. It's not asking that much for those guys to be able to take that shot.
To make a wide-open 15-footer?
Yeah.
Yes!
You'd think it wouldn't be too tough. I mean, we all do it, what, every time we play pickup basketball, and we seem to be all right.
Well, that's the thing. School children can do that. It's the only part of the NBA that school children can do.
But, I mean, a game like, you know, all of these games have been close. Every one of them has been close, except for maybe the first one. And, you know, those games could have all gone the other way with a little better free shooting.
Yeah, I mean, look, Kobe missed, the technical, and then Ron missed those two. Powell missed one or two down the stretch. It's, I mean, outside of Derek Fisher, who actually missed two, I think, in game four, critical free throws in game four, you really don't have any very good free throw shooters. You know, Kobe's really good, but you know, Derek is kind of the only guy that's an elite free throw shooter on that team.
Right, but let's talk about the bottom half, which Bean is saying. I mean, I was talking about this yesterday. I think in the pros, really about, you know, 70% really should be about as low as it goes.
Yeah, it's really shocking.
Here's what you should do if you want to have a lot of fun. Put Rick Barry on.
Yeah.
Right. And just, I mean, look, the kids know who he is. He's in a T-Mobile commercial now or something.
They don't know who he is. He used to be a professional player that used to shoot granny style, two-handed, underhand free throws.
And what was his percentage?
Well, he's one of the all-time greats.
93,
really?
94.
Wow.
Ridiculous.
In the 90s, but he's an NBA champion, won a title with the Warriors. He's arguably, you know, you could put him in the conversation for best small forward of all time, but if you just put him on, all right, we bring on Rick Barry, one of the NBA's 50 greatest, father of Brent and John and the whole Barry kids. Rick, what do you make of why NBA players can't make free throws? And then just stop. He'll go for 10 minutes. There'll be 700 F-bombs in there. You better have Gene on that button there. And I'm telling you, every bit of it will make sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because he's right. And he said, look, these guys, the way their bodies are built, these big dudes, they're not meant to shoot the ball that way.
I'm not buying it. I'm
really?
Sorry,
that's
money.
The reason?
Not
it's not that
it.
They don't just work
no,
at it?
The intention is they ought to be shooting underhand, that their percentage
okay.
should be higher
really?
Than the way their bodies are made.
Right, but okay, fine, that's fine. But they could also get used to shooting with big hands. I mean, isn't it just a matter of practice?
Yeah, I mean, look, was it a factor in last night's loss? Yes.
Yeah.
What was the biggest factor? The Lakers allowing the Celtics to score on 11 of their first 12 possessions in the third quarter.
Well, there was that.
That's the Celtics shot. I think in the fourth quarter at one point, they were still converting 68% of their field goals.
Yeah.
Listen.
That, you know, those things don't show up in the box score. So when you look at the box score and you say, well, they lost by, they were only down by four with, you know, 2 minutes left and they made these free throws, it would have been a different contest. And you're right. Had Ron Artest made those, it would have been a one possession game all as well. You know, well, hey, the referees don't get that call wrong with the rim.
Yep.
Right.
And, you know, now the Lakers have a shot to cut it to a one possession game with 50 seconds left. So there's a lot of little things that happen, but I'm kind of more of the guy that looks at why you got to those particular moments. And the Lakers' defense was terrible. Their rebounding was awful. And, you know, they can't get anyone to help Kobe. You know, before it was they couldn't get anyone to help Kobe and Powell. Now they can't even get anyone to help Kobe.
All right, it's 3-2. Celtics lead. Two games in Los Angeles. One tomorrow night, one Thursday night.
Yeah. The injury to Andrew freaks me out a little bit. You know, I just think if he can't play, you have to count on Lamar. You want to count on Lamar?
Nope.
Okay.
No. his entire career, even when Lamar was playing with the Clippers, you watch him and you go, this guy might have the most skill, the most promise almost anyone in the NBA, but he rarely comes through on that.
I mean, think about this. The reason why Jerry Buss likes him so much is because when he watches him in practice and stuff, he reminds him of Magic Johnson. So just think about that.
Yeah.
He's a guy who, in practice and in moments when he's not really paying attention, reminds people of Magic freaking Johnson,
yeah.
one of the greatest players in the history of the game.
Money, we're out of time. What's your level of comfort with the Lakers winning two at home to get the title?
I mean, I could see it happening. I could. I really could. If they get it together, it's just Lamar Odom, and that's such a tough.
It's a wild card.
It's almost like saying, hey, you know what? We could pull out of this economy tailspin if all these people with these subprime mortgages would just make their payments.
Sure.
Could it happen? Sure. Is it likely? Probably not.
Oh, that hurts.
Yeah, it does. I mean, you asked me to count on Lamar Odom.
And yeah.
Sadly, that's my response. And watching the way Andrew's playing, I think that's what's going to have to happen.
Understood. Always great to hear your analysis. Money is on the Petros and Money Show without Petros. Weekdays at 3 on Fox Sports Radio in Southern California, 570 AM. Have a great week, Matt. We'll talk to you soon, buddy.
All right, guys.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Monday. I sure love my Netflix, by the way. I don't know how I'd live without my Netflix. There's almost... Why go to the theaters and have to put up with their kids with their vuvuzelas now?
They don't do that at the movies now.
They don't do that at the movies.
Well, they're making too goddamn much noise. Oh. I just love the Netflix, and I love when the new movies come out on DVD that I haven't seen in theaters, like The Book of Eli, that is due tomorrow, June 15th, on DVD. One of the stars of the film, Mila Kunis, joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hey, Mila, how are you, my dear?
Oh, I'm good. How you guys doing?
Did you just get up?
No, I totally got up like 2 whole minutes ago.
All right, good. So you're wide awake.
Oh, yeah.
So what are you wearing? I gotta ask.
Yes.
Yes. Sound like she's gonna answer that.
I'm gonna answer that one. Sure. Well, I'm wearing pajamas from Target.
All right,
that's fantastic. This is footies. The greatest moment.
Wait, footies?
No, footies.
All right,
no, that's crazy.
All right, good.
Hey, Mila. It's very rare that we get the chance to interview a big Hollywood Times star for a DVD release. And I was wondering, is it because The Book of Eli, not enough people saw it, didn't do as well in theaters as it should have, because everybody who did see it thought it was great, so you feel like, hey, let's get out there and really, spread the word that it's out and it's awesome, and now you can see it too?
No, I'm just a fan of your guys' show. I was like, why not go on Kevin and Bean? I listen to the show every morning. I'm telling you. Other than that, no, I think the movie's really great, so I have no problem, hawking it on DVD. I think it's really good.
I did see the movie, and I loved it. And it's a bizarre story. It's like 30 years in the future, and you always see these movies of what people think the future is going to be like.
Right.
And it's just...
good times?
No.
not so much?
Not good times, no.
but it's fun.
What's funny, though, about science fiction and about people who see the future is movies that were made 30 years ago about what 2010 was going to be like.
Yeah.
They have us, with jetpacks and flying around and taking a pill for dinner. I mean, nothing.
And hovercraft.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Nothing ever comes as fast as you think it will. And we hope that the world depicted in the Book of Eli is not that soon around the corner. That's for sure.
Right.
Tell me about, and I'm sure you get asked this all the time, but a guy like Denzel Washington, who's, one of the greatest actors of all time, he just seems so not accessible. He just seems like nobody knows that guy or nobody gets close to that guy. What's it like actually going to work and hanging out with him every day?
Well, I mean, I saw him every day for 3 months, so you ultimately, get to know each other. But he's actually incredibly accessible and incredibly nice and very warm to the crew and the cast. So, I mean, I had a very different experience, but he has a very specific aura about him. Then when he walks into the room, my voice is going.
Yes, it is.
When he walks into the room, you just almost shut down because he's just so much larger than life.
Yeah, very few people have that.
But he's actually very nice, and he's actually very warm and very welcoming. I mean, that's the truth of it.
Yeah, and I wasn't at all trying to suggest that anyone who had worked with him had felt that way about him. I was saying, as those of us that are fans, he's not a guy that you feel like you know about, because he's not, you don't see the paparazzi photos, you don't see him on a lot of talk shows. So he just seems so mysterious to me. I just can't imagine. I mean, he seems like a very serious guy, too.
I mean, yeah. I mean, you're not far off. I mean, he's very serious, but he also, can tell a joke or two. He's a very much a guy's guy. I mean, however that would translate to, he is a guy's guy. Like, he likes sports. He's
right.
Very laid back. He's a family man. He has kids. you know, he has a life. He has a very private life.
Speaking of liking sports, you and you're you know, one of the hottest women in the world, and I like to think of you as being perfect in every way. Please tell me that you are also a sports fan, Mila.
I am. I guess you can say I am. But understand, I'm a sports fan by, like, default, because I grew up with an older brother and my dad and stuff, so not necessarily do I always know what I'm watching or why I'm watching it, but I seem to always have ESPN on in the house.
All right. Excellent.
Are you following either the NBA Finals or the World Cup right now?
The NBA Finals more so than the World Cup. The World Cup seems to be on at 4 a.m. in the morning. It's just a little a little too early for me, but the NBA Finals for sure. Yeah.
Well, I got to tell you, this movie, The Book of Eli, is great. Denzel Washington has to get this book all the way across the country so somebody can transcribe it. I guess it's the Bible, right? It's supposed to be the Bible?
Yes,
yeah.
Correct.
And Mila Kunis is the daughter of Gary Oldman. And Gary Oldman is not nice to Mila Kunis. And you know how, like, occasionally you'll get pulled out of a movie and it's not necessarily a good thing?
Yeah.
Well, Gary Oldman sends Mila in, his daughter, to have sex with Denzel Washington, right?
Really?
And she, and she walks into the room and she offers, and he says no. And right then I was like, no way! I'm calling BS!
The BS alarm went off?
If Mila Kunis walks into the room, I don't care who you is, if she offers, the answer is yes. And then I had to, you know, get out of that mindset and then get back into the movie. But I did just take pause for a second.
Thank you for the warning.
Yeah, it's just no way. That's just unreal. Everything else is realistic.
Oh, okay,
not that.
But that part.
That part, not realistic.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, The Book of Eli comes out on DVD. It's tomorrow. You also play, of course, Meg Griffin on The Family Guy, which is one of our favorite shows.
God bless you. Love that so much.
Oh,
and by the way, I have to ask you this because, you know, we've had Seth on and, you know, we've had everybody on from that show over the years. Do you ever stop and think, you look at those guys who do the voices for The Simpsons and they've been doing the show for like 22 years. Do you ever think, wow, is The Family Guy going to be one of those that just goes on forever?
Oh, my God, I hope so. I really
do.
I mean, I love that show so much, and I love doing it that I hope it goes on as long as The Simpsons. I absolutely do. I think it's such a great show.
I think it gets better every year. I mean, it's unbelievable to say that because it started so strong, but I can't believe what you guys get away with on that show. It's amazing.
I know. I love how people put you guys and put me into that statement and have any say into it. I know. I am just as shocked sometimes as everybody else. Like, what are we doing in television?
But it's so great because that boundary that most people aren't allowed to cross, that line.
Absolutely. It's fantastic.
Family Guy kind of has set it up so that they have license to do that because everybody kind of understands it's not real. And, you know, I mean, that's the kind of show, that and South Park, the kind of show where they do stuff no one else can do that makes it much more fascinating to watch.
I couldn't agree more. There was an episode on last week that got into a lot of trouble with the horse and...
There's a fine, an FCC fine because of a scene that involved talking about having sex with a horse, right?
Yeah.
And
but it was a cartoon, so they were talking about a cartoon horse, right?
I know, the whole thing's insane, the trouble that Family Guy gets into. Oh, poor Family Guy.
No, I love it. Love it so much.
Family Guy airs Sunday nights at 9 on Fox, and The Book of Eli is out on DVD everywhere tomorrow. Mila, you made our whole day by saying you're a fan of our program because we like to imagine all of our listeners look just like you is how we picture it in our heads. So we're very happy to hear that you're out there. So you can go back to bed now. You're done for the day. Thank you.
Thank you, Mila.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Monday. We're going to be talking coming up on things that you've done to other people's food. And I think, Lisa, you're right. It'll make us never want to go to a restaurant again. But there's a very disturbing story in the news that we're going to have to get
into. Why are we playing
producer
sad music?
Producer Alex is filling in for Ralph with the showbiz, and she says she's got some bad news to break to us.
I would like to just point out for people who are big fans of the show that Ralph is on vacation this week. It was planned ahead of time.
For real vacation.
All good.
For realsies.
It's all good.
It's all good. This, I think, is really going to hit Bean the hardest.
Okay.
And then maybe Mike.
All right.
A country music legend has passed away. Yeah. You may have heard about, or you may be familiar with his big single, Big Bad John.
Yep. No.
You may have eaten his sausage every morning.
What?
Every morning.
Hey, take it easy with that kind of language.
Just letting you know that Jimmy Dean, great sausage hero, has died.
Oh. Great sausage hero is a great band name.
It's a great porn name. Are you kidding me?
He passed away in Henrico County, Virginia. Apparently, he was eating in front of the TV.
We're on the sausage hunt right now.
I swear to God.
I'm sorry, what, Bean?
We're on the sausage hunt right now.
All right.
So, here's to you, Jimmy. Thanks for all the sausage.
Not the first time Alex has said that, by the way.
No kidding.
I'm just, you know, he's a man after my own heart.
Then I guess you won't be needing this sausage.
Stop. Stop.
All right. How many bean drops do we have in one sausage?
Do you want extra sausage?
Wow. All right. Are we good?
Yes.
You sure?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. In lighter news, I have a giveaway.
Can I play this music now? All right.
Happy time. Who wants to go see a nice romantic comedy starring Jonah Hill and John C. Reilly? You do. You do.
No,
okay.
Wait. Uh-oh. Sausage.
Uh-oh. Yes, I do.
Who wants to go to the Arclight and party at the premiere and after-party passes?
Yes.
For Cyrus.
Woo!
Cyrus looks good.
It does.
Caller 20. Call Cleo and say, hi, Cleo. And then
that's
you
it?
Get tickets.
Just hi, Cleo?
Just go, hey. And then you get a pair
of
tickets.
Is it hi, Cleo, or is it hey? Which is it?
All right, hey.
All right.
The Mets had to apologize to Jerry Seinfeld about Lady Gaga. I don't
what?
Know if you guys saw this
no,
last week.
I don't know
week,
anything about this.
But it was awesome. Lady Gaga went to a Mets game and was sitting behind home plate.
Okay.
And if you're Lady Gaga going to a baseball game, you think she dresses down? No, not so much. She's still all Gaga-esque. So, of course, people are noticing her, trying to take her picture, and suddenly she's like, oh, why are all these people staring at me?
How come people are looking?
Didn't she strip down to, like...
Yeah. She yes. was in, like, a flannel and a bra and, like, this weird bandana thing. So she asked the Mets staff there if there was someplace else she could watch
right.
the game. So they put her into an empty VIP suite.
Right.
Which happened to be Jerry Seinfeld's suite that he wasn't using for that particular game.
Right.
So she goes up there, sits there, and you think that's the end of it? Oh, no. She decides to give, as the Mets call it, the one-finger salute to the crowd. Because the crowd is booing her for being there and also giving her the one-finger salute back.
All right.
Yeah. So the Mets were pretty embarrassed about the whole incident and had to issue an apology saying, we deeply regret that Jerry Seinfeld has been associated with this matter
that's
and have
funny.
Apologized to him.
Keiko Mexico says she's a big Yankees fan, so yeah. Mets do not like Yankee fans.
Apparently, Jerry Seinfeld said the Seinfelds take an optimistic view of Lady Gaga's gesture as a sign that she wants the Mets to be in first place as badly as they do. So at least he's got a good sense of humor about it. My favorite Christmas movie, Elf.
Yes.
Might become a Broadway musical.
Lisa, that would be awesome.
We could actually go to Broadway together.
We'll go.
Would Will Ferrell be in it?
Well, no.
Oh.
But I hope so. 21st century holiday classic Elf will launch a Broadway holiday run this November, the New York Times reports.
How fun.
Writer Thomas Meehan told the Times, Elf the musical is in very good shape. Very, very fun shape. I don't know if you're going to be good and fun, but
all
they're
right.
currently doing casting, and it's going to run through New Year's Day. So if you're in New York, I would definitely check that out.
I just hope this scene makes it.
Did you hear that?
I gotta tell you, along with Anchorman, I think it's Will Ferrell's greatest performance, Elf. Unbelievable
yeah, great
how
that.
Great he is in that movie.
I love it so much. All right, Bam Margera had his ass beat by a chick. I don't know if you guys heard this story this weekend.
I saw headlines and what happened?
It's not good. Apparently, Bam owns a bar in Westchester, PA.
That's shocking.
Yeah, I know. And at closing time at 2 a.m., this insane woman came out behind the corner from his bar with a baseball bat and proceeded to beat the living S out of him with a baseball bat.
Were they fighting earlier? Does he know who she is? What's that?
I don't know her relationship to him. Apparently, there was an altercation outside the bar earlier.
Okay.
But he was not involved. Then he came out. And then this crazy, insane woman started attacking him with a baseball bat. So she has been arrested and charged with assault. And then Bam was taken to the Chester County Hospital. However, his condition is still unknown. TMZ has all these pictures of him.
Hold on a sec, because Bam, what's going on with you? Are you still in the hospital? How are you feeling?
All right, don't feel so good. I got hit in the head with a baseball bat.
Right?
That's all he's got, Bean. That's all he's got.
Okay.
Why is there a chair in the hallway, wee man?
So... our best wishes to Bam. Heal up, dude, because we want you to be around for what? Is it Jackass 4 in 3D or Jackass
3D? Jackass
3D. 3D?
I can't keep track. Okay. We're very excited for that movie. And finally, David Hasselhoff.
Yeah.
He's going to be roasted on Comedy Central. This is all I care about right now.
Oh, God. Man.
In the great tradition of them roasting Joan Rivers, Bob Saget, Pamela Anderson, David Hasselhoff has signed up to do the Comedy Central roast. It's going to air.
Yeah, but where can I get them? I mean, they're like,
Is there a Marriott near there? Maybe?
Yeah, can I come to your radio station tonight and pick up something, or can I just go down there? Because
you just want to pick up anything?
Mm-hmm. So it's going to air Sunday, August 15th on Comedy Central. Hasselhoff says, I'm honored that Comedy Central is going to get Hoff on me.
Oh,
yeah. Oh, yeah.
He has to stop that.
He says, I have always been a major fan of roast. Bring it on. I'm ready to take the heat.
Yeah, and do you think there's rooms at the Marriott available, do you know?
Maybe. I don't think he has a great sense of humor about himself.
Well,
we've encountered less than that.
Yeah.
I've personally received a nasty email from David Hasselhoff after you guys spoke to him.
Well, this was after the video came out. He was on the floor and, you know, in Las Vegas, mm-hmm. and he was rolling around in a cheeseburger.
Right.
And then he came on our show and he said, you know, I haven't touched drugs or alcohol since college.
Yeah.
And I
you
said,
called him on
what?
It.
What? It was because it was so public.
Right, and then he sent me the nasty email, and literally 48 hours later, he was back on TNC completely, completely S-House. So,
right.
Yeah. Hmm. But I'm looking forward to our Roastmaster General, Jeffrey Ross, handling him.
He's
just
so
serving it up on a platter.
David Hasselhoff is a legend in Europe.
Tell me you're going to stop.
I'm going to stop.
And finally, happy birthday to our favorite bag of hot air, Donald Trump. Writer Diablo Cody and Stephen Hawking. Kevin McHale from Glee is 22 years old.
Oh, the kid from Glee, that one. Yeah.
I'm Alex. That's your show.
All right, let's talk about this New Jersey teen. I don't know if you saw this story. It's not pretty. It is not a good. It's not what you want.
Mike loves it.
Heard it.
Comes out of Camden, New Jersey. What a surprise! His lawyer called it a foolish prank. The judge didn't find it quite so funny. 17-year-old high school student from Haddon Township admitted in family court Thursday that he took a friend's soda in auto shop class and,
What? What did he do?
Well, what's the worst thing you could do to a soda? He did that. Well, maybe not the worst.
Oh,
yeah,
wait.
Yeah. Well,
the worst?
Well, no. Second worst.
Second worst.
Yeah.
Still bad.
Yeah.
Boo.
Number two. Soda.
By far the worst. I know what you're talking about.
That's
the other
way
one.
Worse.
Yeah,
that's way worse.
It may seem grosser to guys, but still not as bad as number two.
I was thinking number one or
that's the
other thing was our option. No, I never.
Oh. You never considered it. All right. This is a difficult conversation to have. Here's what happened.
I'm
number two.
Now.
That's it.
That's what I thought.
That's it.
Okay.
So
he made his classmate drink to poo-poo. That's what happened.
That is
yeah!
That's correct.
And by the way, without getting into too much detail, because there are people trying to eat, wouldn't that be kind of obvious in your soft drink?
Right?
Seems like you would see something like that in your soft drink.
Well,
it's not like putting, it's not like peeing in a drink or something like that, where you wouldn't be able to tell until unless you maybe.
Well, it depends on if it's soda or you know Sprite. I mean, it depends on the color.
I can't believe we're having this conversation.
I just feel like you'd see chunks.
They dropped the aggravated assault charge. That was the original charge because the boy admitted his guilt.
Did it make the guy sick?
Well, it says authorities say the victim sipped the soda and then spit it out as classmates laughed.
Oh, okay.
So it doesn't sound like
he didn't really ingest it.
No.
You can get really sick. I saw it in The Human Centipede.
That's not. That's just a movie, though.
Oh God!
By the way,
that movie just sounds worse and worse.
It does.
We are going to take your calls if you've done stuff to people's food, whether you did it in this case as a prank or you did it professionally because you're a waiter or a waitress and you had a jackass client that you wanted to get revenge on. And I'm terrified for those stories because I don't ever want to eat at any restaurant where that might happen. And I suspect that it happens at all of them.
I suspect it does too. But don't be a jerk to them. And I think
don't
you're
be
fine.
A jerk, right?
Yeah.
And of course, every time we bring up something that's completely depraved like this story, and no one is saying that this is a good idea. I don't even think this is a good prank. I think this goes beyond that. I really do. Every time we bring up a story like this, Psycho Mike's like, yeah, I've done that. Yeah, okay.
Oh, yeah.
I know.
Sure.
Psycho Mike, what did you do in school? You guys had a whole ring of these things, right?
From age 14 to probably the mid-20s, you could not leave your food unsupervised around my group of friends. I mean, because it was at the very least spit. That was a given.
That was the best case scenario.
God.
Yeah, that's like if you just turned your head quickly, you're getting spit.
Tell
in your
us
food.
About have fun in school.
Have fun at class or have fun at work was when you slip LSD into your friend's drink or food.
Are you serious?
And then we all gather around, and then you'd wait for them to eat it, and then as they were finishing up their meal, you go, have fun in class, and that was the key code
and
word.
And then
everybody's like, oh, no, come on.
Oh, man.
That's a little.
And, you know, 20 minutes later, your brain starts melting.
That's a little
but
extreme.
Isn't that the type of thing that you could get arrested and go to jail for?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But have fun in class is not something you play with, like, like casual friends. That's the core
hardcore
network.
Friends.
That's
yeah.
the nuclear bros. Family of depraved people.
Right.
Wow.
Now, Lisa, you were a waitress at
yes.
one time. And I'm sure that you had occasions where you felt like getting some sort of sweet revenge against the customer.
But
did
Lisa
you ever
would
it?
Never do that.
You know, I didn't. But bartenders, I was cocktail waitressing, and bartenders used Visine.
Sure. That makes you sick.
It makes, yeah, it gives you the runs and yeah. stuff. So they would do that with really crappy customers. But no, I never spit in a drink or anything.
You wanted
I
to,
I might
though.
Have accidentally spilled one or two.
That's it?
On someone.
That's as strong as you go?
On them.
1-800-520-1067. Let's take a couple calls real quick, and then we'll come back with yours if you have any experience in this area. Let's start with Samantha. She's on line two, and this is exactly the kind of passive-aggressive behavior that makes the server feel better, and sometimes the client is not at all any wiser for it. Samantha, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What happened?
Hi. Okay, so I used to work at Chuck E. Cheese, and everyone in the kitchen, when we'd get really irritated with all the kids and the moms and the dads, we'd kick the chicken wings all over the floor before serving them.
Excellent.
Oh,
good.
God.
Good.
That was just our little starter, and when we got to the pizza, we'd sneeze on it, we'd fart on it, we'd spit on it.
Oh.
Occasionally, we'd go to the bathroom, pee in a cup, and, you know, raise the pizza with some pee.
Wow. Oh, this is a girl, by the way, who did all these things.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Oh.
As well. Wait, that's not even the top yet.
What?
That has to be it. I can't take anymore.
No, it's not, though.
Well, what is it?
What happened?
We'd pick boogers out, and we'd, like, shove them inside the salad bar where the broccoli is.
Oh, man. Like, you
yeah.
are a delicate little flower.
I know, huh?
So let me ask you this, Samantha. Do you take Kevin's advice now and you are the best customer in the world when you've got somebody waiting on you?
Oh, I so am. Because I used to get, like, tipped 5 cents from these people, and I am such a good customer now.
How much of a tip do you think you expect when you put boogers in their food?
Good well, point.
More than 5 cents.
Yeah.
I was kidding. You really don't deserve any tip.
I would host parties for like 20-odd kids, and the parents were just stupid parents.
Yeah.
It was horrible.
Yeah, really.
I'm going to suggest that you weren't cut out for the food service industry is what I'm going to say.
Well, the food service industry is one thing. Chuck E. Cheese is a whole other level of bad. I mean, that's just hell on earth.
You'll never eat there, will you, Samantha?
Oh, no, never. Right.
I just want to say, you guys all make fun of how restrictive my diet is. After this call-in, it's not going to look so funny, is it?
You're right.
No.
Yeah.
All right, Samantha, great way to get us started. 1-800-520-1067. What have you done to your friends' or customers' food? We want to hear from you. We'll take your calls after this. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show, perhaps the most unpleasant conversation we have ever had on the show. We're talking about that case in New Jersey recently where a guy left a present from his butt in a friend's soft drink. And that kind of got us onto the topic of things you have done to friends and colleagues and customers. And we're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. Here's Brad, who emails, I had a stoner buddy that was eating all of our food one time, so we hid some of our short and curlies under the pepperoni.
Oh, wow.
He destroyed that pizza. It was so much fun. So that's the kind of thing that we're talking about. All right, let's just gross it up. We might as well go for it. We've lost everyone with any taste anyway, so we'll start with Richard. He's on line three. I mean, if you're in at this point, you are depraved. If you're still listening to this conversation, you're gone.
This one might make you turn your radio off.
Though. Oh, how dare you? This is entertaining.
It's gross.
Hey, Richard.
Hey, how you doing?
What'd you do?
Well, we're at Shakey's at the salad bar, and I had a large road rash on my arm, so I picked the scab off and put the chicken bits.
Now, did you do that to burn someone or just because you felt like being a jerk?
Just because I'm a jerk.
Yeah.
Oh, you're so gross.
So in other words, you didn't have a victim in mind. Everyone who came for bacon bits after you at the salad bar got scab.
No, there was a friend of mine that was there, and I knew he was going to get the bacon bits. So,
it was mainly for him. All right.
Never eat a bacon bit with Harris on it.
Yeah, well, I'll make sure and check. Thank you.
God.
Can I not listen? Can I throw up? Can I come back in 10 minutes? Let's try Jeff. Jeff is on line six on the Kevin and Bean Show. I'm proud to have all of you as our listeners. Hi, Jeff. Welcome to the show. What happened?
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Hi, Lisa May.
Hi.
We were better before this topic, but go ahead.
One day I went to work and I put worms inside my boss's coffee.
Nice.
Well, now he's going to see those.
No.
He didn't see them. He drank them.
They don't float. I would imagine they sink,
but
right?
Aren't you, I mean, coffee, you're going to know if there's something in it.
Well,
right?
Yeah, eventually, but not before it gets in your mouth necessarily.
God.
Nice work. Good job, Jeff. Worms is best case scenario in this conversation.
Yeah, you're right about that.
Let's try Linda, line 7 on the Kevin and Bean Show. Linda, be very careful as you describe this because we are doing a radio show for families.
Are we?
Not now.
Is that what we're doing? That's what you would call this? All right, Linda.
Hi.
What'd you do?
Well, I sort of, pleasured myself with a cucumber, and then I served it in my in-law's salad.
Your in-laws?
Oh, yeah, nice. I really don't like them.
Really? That's a surprise after hearing what you did to them.
Oh my I know. God. It kind of sounds like I do like them, huh?
So they were mean to you, I imagine, and you said, I'll show them.
Exactly.
And did your ex-husband know about it?
No, I never told him.
What did your in-laws think about the special salad you had prepared?
They said the dressing was awesome.
Oh, wow.
So you never told them or them or anyone?
Oh, no.
That's the best. Can we call them?
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't know. Put you on hold.
Thank you.
What's your in-law's number?
Can you believe that somebody would do that?
Yeah.
I'm going to use up this cucumber, then I'm going to cut it up and put it in my in-law's salad.
No. God.
Chelsea, line 4. I'm losing the will to live. I'm barely hanging on at this point. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. Please tell me you didn't do anything bad to anyone's food or drink ever.
No, I actually had to do this to my brother. My boyfriend in college had this done to him, and he was given chocolate X-Lax. And my brother was leaving things in the bathroom for me to find after he had gone, and I finally was set up. So I made him chocolate-covered strawberries with chocolate X-Lax.
Nice.
And I didn't want to tell anyone, and I finally broke down and told my mom about 6 hours later because nothing had happened. And then about a half hour later, he was exploding in the bathroom, and she was pretty furious with me.
All right. All right. How's that breakfast, everybody? How's that food treatment today?
The worst conversation ever. Yeah. You want to do one more? Cisco? Really want to do Cisco on line 8?
Wait, you asked. I said no.
Cisco, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. We're talking about things you've done to friends and family and colleagues, customers, foods. Be very careful as you describe what you did.
Kevin and Beaner, what's going on? What's happening, my horny Asian brothers? When I was a kid, I was working at McDonald's. Every goddamn single mother effing Friday, this worthless cop would come in at about 7 o'clock and demand a free Big Mac combo. And I was like, okay, sure, you know, you're a cop, my manager, I can give you food, no problem. They didn't have to be an a-hole about it.
Right.
You're just a jerk, man. Every Friday, everybody would try and take their break at 7 o'clock so nobody would have to deal with this cop.
Wow.
So I started thinking, well, how the hell am I going to get back at this with this cop for treating us the way he does? And I was thinking about it for a couple of weeks. So one day I was at my girlfriend's house, and we just finished having sex, and I was getting ready to dispose of a used condom, and it just kind of struck me.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Okay. Wow.
I say we're going to leave it right there.
Wow.
Thanks for calling, everybody. Enjoy your breakfast.
Who's hungry?
I can see why Brandon Flowers needed to get away from the restrictive sound of the Killers so he could go off and do something so crazy and so different with a solo record.
That is odd when they go do a one-off and it's the same. And you go, that's pretty killer-esque.
What's the point of that?
Why go somewhere else?
All right. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. It is Monday. Thanks a lot for tuning in. Psycho Mike back from vacation, by the way. Had a very sad vacation. We'll find out why coming up in just a few minutes. Also, an update from Mr. T on what he thinks about the new A-Team movie. That's all straight ahead here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Sad news for virtually no one in our listening audience. Country music legend and Sausage King Jimmy Dean died over the weekend. Lisa May be the only person other than me who knows who he was. But he's, besides his country music career, he's, by the way, worth hundreds of millions of dollars, this dude, by the way, Kevin.
Is this guy really?
He's a guy who, sold the company to Sara Lee back in the 90s. At that time, he was worth about $100 million. He's one of those guys who invested in just a filthy, filthy rich.
Wow.
But that doesn't stop you from dropping dead at 81. And the only reason I bring it up is because we had so much fun talking about the Jimmy Dean sausages last year when those phone calls got released about the guy. What was the story? He was ticked off because they changed the packaging or the size that he could buy the sausage?
Here's the thing. He's fat and his family's fat.
Right.
And the company went from 16-ounce packages to 12-ounce packages. And that angered him so much that he called the company. Now, I don't think I've ever called. I mean, don't you just stop buying it?
Have
you ever called a company?
No, I never have.
To log a formal complaint?
I'll complain about it.
No, I know Bean does all the time.
Someone, but no, you don't pick up. I mean, what do you think they're going to do? Change their packaging back?
He did. I write a strongly worded letter.
Right.
And occasionally I do get results from that. I mean, I wrote a strongly worded letter to when they discontinued the 2-liter bottles of Vanilla Coke, for instance. I'm that guy who wrote the strongly worded letter.
And what kind of results did you get?
They sent me out a coupon for some canned Vanilla Coke. So at least I got something out of it. But yeah, I think.
Was it worth your time, though, Bean?
Yes, it was.
It was.
It was. Look, I think companies of any kind count on consumer feedback. Believe me, they know if they've screwed up. Now, I don't know whether they changed the packaging in the sausage case here, but this guy made a pretty convincing argument that they should.
Now, this is our tribute to Jimmy Dean.
Yes, that's right.
Because he passed away, the Sausage King. This is a guy in Texas, and he called to complain. He's very, very angry.
Love your sausage for 30-something years, but I can't take and feed a family of five on a little 12-ounce roll of sausage. I don't mind paying you more money for your 16-ounce roll of sausage, but you don't have it anymore.
Now, he's being realistic there, right? He'll pay for it.
I think he's
fair.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
He just wants the 16-ounce package.
You've got a 12-ounce roll, and you got three men that weigh over 200 pounds apiece.
Now, here's my favorite part, because he starts describing to Jimmy Dean Sausage his family and their weight problems. And he's very upset at them for not feeding him more.
I don't think he thinks those are weight problems. Those are
just a woman that's a little plump.
All right, now, what about a woman that's a little plump?
All right, but he doesn't sound like it's a problem.
Dude, when you say a woman's a little plump, 350.
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah, she's giant.
Yeah.
Scotch girl, and you're going to try to take a 12-ounce roll of sausage and a couple of dozen eggs and feed that. It ain't gonna work.
So all the rest of us would say, why don't you just buy two packages?
Buy two, right. Absolutely, yeah.
And I'm not gonna purchase your product anymore or ever again. And as far as your 16-ounce and maple and sage, I don't eat that. I'm not from the north. I'm a Texas man.
All right, so they still make a 16-ounce sausage, but it's maple and sage.
Yeah, that's like blasphemy. That. No right-thinking Southerner is gonna eat that flavor. Come on.
Jimmy Dean sausage is for Southern people to eat with the breakfast, with the fried eggs and the T-bone steaks. And I can't see going to a little 12-ounce package to feed 4, 5, 6 people. And I'm not going to buy two of those 12-ounce packages.
Now, why? He said he would pay more for the 16-ounce package.
I don't know. He seems like he cannot deal with the fact that he can't cook an entire package. You might have to cook 1.5 and then save half.
Right.
And that baffles him.
Nothing's built more for saving in the refrigerator than a roll of sausage. Like, you know, it's not like something that's going to be ruined, like cooked broccoli or something.
Right. It comes in a bag. All you need to do is twist it closed and you're done.
Just because you want to downsize and charge the same goddamn price. Goodbye.
All right. So he says goodbye, but then he doesn't hang up, so this continuing message is left on the machine, and this is him now talking to his fat family about what's happening in the call that he just made.
Hello, 12-ounce goddamn roll of sausage supposed to feed your brother and me and you, 600 pounds of men, and the two girls, and they put it in that roll of sausage. Son of a bitch, somebody needs their ass kicked.
Now that's my favorite part, because... They don't need to go back to 16 ounces. They need an ass whooping.
Absolutely. That, I'm with him. I think I agree with this guy.
Somebody needs their ass kicked. Some little consumer geek alloy. This up.
Save money.
Save money. Yeah, save money. Save money.
Oh.
I'm going to eat, goddammit.
She's egging them on. Oh, they're saving money. Saving money. I know. I want to eat. So that's our touching tribute to Jimmy Dean.
I love
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
Somebody needs their ass.
I'm just saying I love her so much that she doesn't even have to love me back, and there's still enough love for us to make it as a couple. That's my point.
You're not a couple. You'll never be a couple.
Right.
And we don't have time for this.
Talking about the beautiful Maria Menounos, by the way, who we're talking to in the final hour of today's Kevin and Bean Show. She is a hardcore, rabid, diehard, all-time Celtics fan. And Kevin is trying to tell me that that's a deal breaker. Like, she and I shouldn't be together just because she has bad taste in basketball teams.
Look,
I'm telling you, I'm willing to overlook that because Maria is so hot.
Right. But you're also assuming that you have a shot with her, which is ridiculous to begin with.
I believe I do. Yeah. I believe I do.
All right.
Anyway, pictures of Maria Menounos up at KevinandBean.com if you want to check it out. And then we'll be talking to her in a little bit over an hour. Time for the Showbiz Beat. Speaking of the World Cup, which no one was, two things.
That's quite a transition.
First, this has to stop.
Forest, no more of playing soccer in a beehive. They've got to do something about that. And I'm all for local traditions, and I'm all for that's how we do in South Africa. I'm saying stop it. Okay, that's first of all.
All right.
Second of all, Weezer has put together a song specifically for the World Cup. I believe it is called, I want to say it's called
Represent.
Yeah. And it is free this week on iTunes. It's their free download of the week, and we also have it available at kevinbean.com if you want to check that out. New Weezer music. And they've edited together some, you know, World Cup soccer coverage kind of stuff in the beginning of the song and everything. But it's a brand new free Weezer song. And I know we have a lot of Weezer fans listening. Even if you don't care about soccer, you might want to go to iTunes or kevinbean.com and check out that
song. It's a good song.
It's not bad.
Yeah, I really like it.
It's not bad at all.
Most times when they do a song about, you know, sports or anything, it's pretty crappy. But Weezer somehow does all good songs.
That's great.
Yeah. Let's see. Joe Jackson is now blaming Michael Jackson's death on his wife, Catherine.
How? What?
Yep. Michael Jackson's father, Joe, who was abusive and a horrible human being.
He was awful.
And if you recall, I believe it was the day Michael died or the day after when he said, oh, we still got a lot of entertainers in the family.
Yes, that's
remember
right.
That? Yes. That's Joe. He says in a videotaped interview due to be released by London's News of the World tabloid, he begged Catherine to get Michael into rehab for addiction to prescription pills. Which, as you know, if a guy doesn't want to go...
Yeah, you can't make him go.
No. If she'd done what I asked, Michael would be here today. I'm incensed with her. Well, she could have made a difference, he reportedly said.
If it's that easy, why didn't he do it?
It's also interesting to note that Joe was cut out of Michael's will.
Are they not together?
Joe and Catherine, they haven't been for a long time.
Oh, I don't think I
knew
that.
Doesn't he live in Vegas and she lives here for
years? I had no idea.
Years.
Okay, well, good for her.
Yeah, he's just...
Dear God.
He's an a-hole of the first sort, so...
I love, by the way, that he and Joe Jackson does a lot of interviews because he will talk to anyone if they're willing to write him a check. And he was cut out of the will, and he basically... Catherine is supporting him. He basically gets his money from Catherine, who gets her money from Michael. So maybe a little less trash talking and a little more being grateful for what little you get. Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
What a dick. Speaking of Michael Jackson, we're fast approaching the one-year anniversary of his death. It's coming up on June 25th. TV Guide Network has announced that they've got a new documentary on Michael Jackson called Gone Too Soon that is going to be premiering that night. It's a two-hour special that is done by Ian Halperin, who also wrote the book called Unmasked, The Final Years of Michael Jackson. Interviews with everybody in Michael's inner circle, his manager, chef, spiritual advisor, bodyguards, hairstylist, all sorts of stuff that has never been seen before. More than 300 hours of footage shot before and after Michael's death. So if you are a fan of Mr. Jackson, thank you.
You were going to wait forever, weren't you?
I'd be happy to. I'm very patient.
All right.
If you're a fan of Michael Jackson, then you may want to check that out. Again, June 25th, the one-year anniversary of his death, fast approaching. That's on the TV Guide channel.
That's hard to imagine. It's already been a year.
I know.
Diddy bought his son Justin a $360,000 car for his 16th birthday.
Well, sure.
And then he went on Nightline, and Martin Bashir, the newscaster there, asked him if he thought that was appropriate. And Diddy said, you know, my six children deserve probably a little more of my personal time, but they're all well taken care of and attend the best schools.
Are you not entertained? Are you not entertained?
So basically saying if you can't spend time with your kids, just spend lots of money on them.
Yes.
And that's just as good. You know, it's correct. Weird because I don't watch the Diddy videos. I grew bored of his channel, his YouTube channel. But the times that I have seen him on with his kids, he seems extremely affectionate with them. And
yeah.
They seem to have a very close, very loving relationship. But he's also, you know, by his own admission, he's a busy guy and he's gone a lot as well.
Yeah,
I just
he can't be.
I don't trust a 16-year-old with a $300,000 car.
Oh, that car is going to be wrapped around something within a couple of months.
Well, it's not just that. It's also, you know,
the sense of entitlement.
Yeah,
and they don't have to work for anything.
$360,000 car.
That's insane.
People don't. I mean, the percentage of, you know, the world that owns a car that expensive is so small. It's infinitesimal. But
right.
Here's one for Psycho Mike and the Showbiz Beat on the Kevin and Bean Show. Lamb of God is back with a new something special for you, Mike. Have you already picked up their new album? You already got their new Greatest Hits record that's out?
No.
Well, it came out on June 1st. 7 different configurations, the most expensive one of which is $1,000. If you're a Lamb of God fan, Mike, I think this is the one you want to go with. For that, you get the standard 2 CD set. You get the group's entire back catalog on vinyl. You get all of their songs on a USB drive. You get a Lamb of God guitar, a Lamb of God flag, a 144-page book, and a Lamb of God coffin.
Yeah.
Ooh, right. I'm seeing Gene Simmons having some words with them because that sounds Kiss-esque, if you ask
me. It certainly does. It certainly does. A Lamb of God coffin is part of the package. You got to be a fan to want to go that route. But there you go, Mike. Your birthday's coming up just in time.
You get the coffin. Congratulations. So the Situation has a new song.
I'm sorry?
Was anyone
song?
Excuse me?
Don't say excuse me. Okay, yeah, The Situation is going to put out a new song, and we have a clip. It was on TMZ.
Okay.
And he raps, and there's a lot of auto-tune. They sure do auto-tune him a lot. But it's not surprising that those guys are putting out records, right? I mean, that's basically what happens.
That's what you do, right?
The Jersey Shore, it becomes super popular. He was telling us it's closed down mall time when he goes in.
He's mobbed.
Right. So he decided to do a, you know, start a rap career. And check this out. It is not good. Well, listen for yourself.
Situation. Let's go. Whoa, we got a situation. The motherfucking situation. Uh-huh. What the hell are you looking at? What? Can a DJ get it in like that? Grab some ass, drink some yak. I ain't doing shit till I get my cash. Yeah, where the ladies at? I ain't by the bar to get drunk or more. I'm going to take a hottie home.
Here you go. You know what that's called? The Situation.
Yeah!
Oh. How does he do it?
Creative.
Sounds like he put as much stuff on that track as possible to so that you wouldn't pay too much attention to how little he can sing.
To distract you, yeah.
Yeah, let's put all sorts of sound effects and speakers and all sorts of nonsense on it, and you can't tell I can't sing. Yeah. That's not good. And finally, it is Monday. That means box office over the weekend. A huge surprise. I don't think anybody was expecting $56 million for the mother effing Karate Kid.
Oh.
That's crazy.
That Jaden Smith, I'm a big fan of both of his parents. I think they're both real good actors. How's he? Have you guys seen anything that he's done?
I saw him in Happiness, and he was okay.
He was okay.
But he's a little kid in that. I don't know.
This has to be a kid movie that, you know, that's where they got all this money from. I can't imagine.
Sure. Yeah.
You know, I was shocked by this as well. Yeah. Anyway, Karate Kid number one, $56 million, and this is the type of movie, and maybe the reason they set it in China or Hong Kong, wherever it's set, is because, you know, big box office around the world, too, for this, so I'm sure it's going to end up being nothing but profit. 18 came in at number two, a little bit of a disappointment for that star-studded cast, another 80s remake, this time $26 million is what it made over the weekend. Shrek Forever After came in third, Russell Brand and Jonah Hill's Get Him to the Greek came in at number four. I hear nothing but great things from people who have seen that movie, by the way.
Yeah, it's funny.
Really fun.
Say it's terrific. Yeah.
Yeah, it's really good.
Killers number five, then Prince of Persia was number six, Marmaduke at seven, Sex and the City 2, eight, Iron Man 2, and then Splice rounds out your top 10. Today's celebrity birthdays, how about Kevin McHale? He plays the kid in the wheelchair on Glee. He is 22 years old today. When they did that dream sequence about three episodes ago, where he got up and danced in the shopping mall, I wondered how many Glee fans there were who had no idea that they didn't really cast a handicapped guy in that role and must have been freaked out. See that dude stand up and start singing. Screenwriter, Oscar winner Diablo Cody is 32 years old today. Actor Faison Love, always funny, 42 years old today. Donald Trump turns 64 today. Yasmin Bleeth, formerly of Baywatch, is 42. And the great Boy George from Culture Club turns 49 today. And that is the Ralph Show. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Monday. Hey, let's talk AT, shall we?
In 1972, a crack commando unit was sent to prison by a military court for a crime they didn't commit. These men promptly escaped from a maximum security stockade to the Los Angeles underground. Today, still wanted by the government, they survive as soldiers of fortune. If you have a problem, if no one else can help, and if you can find them, maybe you can hire the A-Team.
Sounds like they do a lot of good work, but they're awfully difficult to get a hold of.
Yeah. They're not in the yellow pages, I'll tell you that.
We were talking a minute ago how the A-Team came in at number two. A little bit of a surprise. I mean, Jessica Biel is in it, and Bradley Cooper is in it, and Rampage Jackson. I mean, it's a great cast, a beloved franchise. It cost $110 million to make.
Wow.
Worldwide this weekend, it made 41, which isn't a bad start. It could hang on if it plays for a few weeks and get their money back, but it is not exactly the start that they were hoping if they wanted to make this a franchise. There's one person you noticed who was not in the movie, even though, as we understand, he was offered a cameo, and that's the star of the original show, Mr. B.A. Baracus from the original show, Mr. T., who joins us now via phone on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Mr. T. How are you, man?
I pity the fool that answered the phone.
you're the fool that answered the phone.
Yeah, pity me.
Okay,
all right. It's
self-pity. Mr. T, we were just talking about the millions of dollars that the remake of your very popular 80s TV series...
How many did it make? How many millions?
That's a great question.
Let's say 40, maybe. Let's say 35.
That's a lot of millions.
It's a lot of money. Yeah. I haven't seen the final numbers yet. I think those come in tomorrow. But a lot of people went to see the Mr. T.
I've been in the pool. Can't say the name of the movie.
A lot of people went to see the AT movie, not featuring Mr. T, because now you've been replaced by Quentin Rampage Jackson. That must be kind of weird for you to see somebody else playing your character.
It is. I'm B.A. Baracus. I invented that character. Now someone else playing it.
No.
And they're ruining it. Ruining the A-Team with all the sex and violence jibber-jabber.
Sex and violence, I think, is kind of part of the selling point of it. Don't you think?
But I'll show you to be for the family. I don't about the families. Love your mother.
Yeah.
Mother's the only mother you'll ever have.
So your complaint then is that there was no reason for them to deviate from the spirit of the original show, which is a lot of people shoot guns, but nobody actually ever gets hurt.
That's right. We're about fun and family entertainment, but this is people about people dying and sex, all kinds of sexifying.
Right.
Which I pity the fool to have sex.
Now, is it true that they offered you a cameo in this movie?
They did, but I knew what was coming.
Yeah. You can't.
So I said no. I pity the fool to.
You can't say that, Mr. T. I'm sorry. You can't use that kind of language.
Then bleep it, mother.
And we got to bleep that, too. You understand that, right, Mr. T?
I pity the fool got to bleep me.
So Dirk
Bentigan. Cursing.
Yes. Okay. Your co-star from the original TV series, Dirk Benedict, who played Face in the old TV show, he does get a cameo. He's in the movie, but just for a very brief time. You're not in it at all, right?
Yeah. He said, all right, I'll do it. Because he was desperate to be back in work and being an actor.
Right.
I'm not desperate. Because I don't care about that stuff. All I care about is families and being good and taking care of your mother.
Yeah.
And
Oh, dear God. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. What did you think about the choice to give Quentin Rampage Jackson your role? Do you think if you're not going to do it, do you think he's a good choice to play that character?
I think he's a good choice. He's a big guy. Looks mean.
Right,
He's got that Mr. T mohawk that they stole from me.
Well, yes. You're not the only guy to ever have a mohawk, but all
I
right.
am.
You are?
I'm the last of the Mohicans.
It doesn't work like that, Mr. T.
I pity the fool that made that joke.
You too.
I pity us. You guys remember the King Kong attraction at Universal Studios a couple of years ago? It burned up, went bye-bye, remember?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yes.
Well, it is reopening. It is back and bigger and better than ever before. Brought to you by Peter Jackson. It's the world's largest 3D experience at Universal Studios Hollywood. We are going to give you a chance to join our own Psycho Mike. That's the annoying voice right there in the studio at Universal Studios Hollywood on Friday, July 2nd. Take a private tram ride to experience the all-new King Kong 360 3D attraction. You can enter at KevinAndBean.com or you can call right now at 1-800-520-1067, caller 20, you get to go with Psycho Mike. Now, speaking of Mike, you were on vacation last week.
Yeah.
And all I know is I got a series of very sad texts and emails from a guy who sounded like he really didn't know what to do with time off.
Well, you know, on Thursdays, we talk to Dr. Drew every Thursday. Last week on Thursday, Dr. Drew told us, you guys, you got to do something with Psycho Mike. He just sits in his house and cries. We were like, what are you talking about?
Yeah. That's true.
What? Why didn't you
go?
I don't know. Do something.
Do stuff.
Because I realized real quickly that I don't like have hobbies and like friends and stuff. And you know, when you're working, especially when you're working a lot, your day has purpose. Even if you're tied up at work, and you tell yourself, "Oh, I sure would love some time off."
Right.
You still have a purpose. You wake up in the morning and you're on your way to work, and then you got to rest up before you do it again. And it gives you that routine, and then you take that all away, and then you're just left to your own devices or to kind of stimulate your own personality. And like if you have nothing outside of work, it's just a pathetic, pathetic mess.
But most people, Mike, especially guys like you who work entirely too much, and for folks who haven't done the math, Mike works every morning with us on the Kevin and Bean Show local time, and then he also comes back and does 2 hours at night for Loveline. So he's sleeping in shifts. He never gets a full night's sleep. He sleeps a few hours in the afternoon and then a few hours in the overnight, right? You would think that all you would do in between jobs is think, wow, if I had some time off, I would love to A, B, C, D, and just make a huge list of things that you'd be dying to do.
Projects and stuff you want to do?
It isn't like he just moved into a new place or anything.
Oh, yeah. Wait.
Oh, wait. You just moved into a new place.
Yeah.
So how do you not have anything to do?
Because I kind of got most of the important stuff done. I had the cable set up, and I hung all the pictures and moved everything in. So then I started, and I thought to myself, well, I'll use my time off to kind of get situated. And then that took me 20 minutes.
And then we were telling Mike last week, we said, he said, yeah, oh, I'll do this for you guys. I'll do this for you guys. We were like, what part of you're on vacation, don't you understand? Just take a vacation. We almost had to force him.
Yeah.
We did force him to take a vacation.
Yeah.
And he wasn't happy.
And he didn't want it.
And apparently he was right.
And then he just sat there.
And I also think it's like when you spend a lot of your, like at least the beginning part of your adult life, like just partying. And,
which Mike did too much.
And you know what? It's like I'm happy to be in recovery and I'm super grateful that I'm sober and I've maintained sobriety for a long period of time now. But you don't really develop a lot of habits except for figuring out things to do while you're not doing drugs. You know what I'm saying?
It leaves a big gap in your
life. Because my free time was doing lots of drugs and alcohol. So now it's like I fill that with work, and that kind of makes you feel good about yourself, and it's something that you can rely on, and it gives you routine, which when you're in recovery is really important. You know, you have routine. I can wake up, and I know early in the morning, every morning, I come to the Kevin and Bean Show. And then at night, it's like, oh, I have something to look forward to. Then I go back to Loveline. And then you remove that, and it kind of throws a big wrench in your system, and then you're like, okay, oh, let me get to my hobbies of, oh.
But don't you like,
don't you work out, can't you work out 10 hours a day?
I pumped a lot of iron.
Is that code?
No, I literally pumped a lot of iron.
Don't you like to watch, like, you know, the History Channel, Military Channel, whatever?
A lot of Hitler and the Occult.
Sure.
Hitler's Bodyguard. A lot of Hitler's Bodyguard. A lot of World War II and High Def.
Yeah.
A lot of Pawn Stars. That's my new fave.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one. Sure.
And a lot of, like, masturbation with my own tears as lube.
Oh, wow.
I mean, just shame and anger. I mean, it's just there's nothing worse than that feeling of
but you
self-hatred.
Are exhausted.
You look in the mirror, and by the way, I'm wearing my shirt as I do it. Like, I take my pants off, but I wear my shirt like Tony Soprano because I'm uncomfortable with my body, and I just look
even
over in the mirror.
Even with no one else in
Even I look over like I said, like Tony Soprano with my T-shirt on and no pants, and
I just stare
at myself in the mirror with just utter hatred.
Yeah.
This is so sad.
It is.
Dr. Drew must feel like such a heavy burden when he shows up at Loveline every night and realizes the worst patient he's ever going to encounter is sitting in the chair next to him. You're a piece of work, Michael.
And I just, you know what I really spent a lot of time doing? Just hoping, wishing, praying that my dogs would learn how to talk so I'd have someone that I could have a conversation
with.
Wow,
that's pathetic.
Stare at my doggies.
That's pathetic.
Like, Milo, why can't you just learn to talk?
Milo can't even eat.
That's a good point.
Milo's retarded.
He has to eat out of an eyedropper. So
what are you?
I should probably opt for Coco, the smartest one.
You don't have any friends?
I do, but they have jobs and stuff,
right?
You know? And so it's like at noon on a Wednesday, I can't just call people up and be like, dude, grab some lunch. Let's go golfing. I don't know. Like, what do guys do, you know?
Now, you're fairly recently single again because you failed at that, too.
And I also think, look, by the way, before you get into it, that, I think, also played a big role in being, like, depressed, too. You know, dude, you got a lot of free time, and then all of a sudden you're also recently alone.
Right.
And then you're like, well...
Yeah.
I could have easily done like
that. But I would think a guy like you, big time radio star, buff dude, would have hot and cold running chicks that would fill up all of his waking hours on vacation.
Nah.
Not so much?
Not so much. I mean, you know, that's a great idea.
He has something going on, right? But Mike's not much of a juggler.
No.
As it turns out.
No. Like, just putting balls in a guy's hand doesn't mean he can juggle.
Right.
You know? Yeah.
That's exactly right.
A lot of times that just ends up with balls on the ground. No pun intended.
That's a problem. You know what you should do? I think you got to go back to the drugs.
The idea is alluring.
That's fantastic.
That is Carolina Liar right there on the Kevin and Bean Show. My new girlfriend, Maria Menounos, joins us in about a half an hour or so. And you don't think we can be together because she's a Celtics fan. You think that makes her a bad person?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
We do.
You're not invited.
Well, no. Well, let me clarify. You won't be together with her because you're you, first of all.
Right.
But then second of all, that is a deal breaker, yes.
Hey, guys. It's Monday. Time to catch up with our friend Harvey Levin from TMZ.com, the entertainment website of record, TMZ television all over the world. Please check your local listings. Harvey, how was your weekend, my friend?
It was good. You guys should ask Maria about, have you heard about her birthday party?
I saw from following her Twitter that she had one, and a bunch of people were bussed to some super secret location. It looked like it was going to be a big blowout. What do you know?
Well, apparently, it was pitched in the meeting this morning. I haven't seen the video yet, but apparently it was an awesome birthday party. Hold on. Hey, what did you say was going on with Maria Menounos? They were licking whipped cream or something?
All right.
It was, I forget, but it sounded like it was a fun party.
All right. Hey, anytime there's licking whipped cream, that's good. That's a good sign.
It was cake.
Cake, all right. Cake. Fine.
Harvey, here's your tip for the site today if you want to put traffic through the roof. Maria tweeted a bikini shot on Saturday. She was laying out by the pool before the party. You got to see it, and you got to put it up on the site. It's beautiful.
Okay, let me write it down. Thank you.
Yeah, she is all good. All right, where do you want to start? You got a lot of stuff going on today. What do you love this week?
I mean, I'm just so outraged by this Joe Jackson story. He should bottle his gall and sell it. I mean, it is unbelievable that he would do this. Yeah. Blames Katherine Jackson for Michael's death.
As if she had any control over Michael?
Well, it's like, this is a guy that Michael Jackson had such problems with. He cut him out of his will.
Yeah.
You know, if you believe all of the reports, he was abusive to this guy, and he sponged off of him, and now he's blaming her, and
right. She's
the one that Michael loved, because
right. He
says that Michael seemed depressed and that she could cheer him up if she would have gone over there, as if, oh, Michael, I'm going to cheer you up, as if that would have changed things.
And here's what I don't understand, by the way. He's Michael's father. Couldn't he have gone over and tried to cheer him up?
Because Michael didn't like him. I mean, it's like, that's why Michael cut him out of the will.
Yeah.
And the audacity to blame this poor woman who is, who is trying to care for Michael's kids, who is supporting the whole family right now. Supporting the whole family, including Joe. I mean, he's not going to get an allowance.
But
Catherine's the one who is giving him money, and he would do this. And he sold the story, right?
Yeah,
well, we were saying this earlier. The reason you see so many Joe Jackson interviews is because he will talk to anyone who is willing to pay him. Right, Harvey?
Not only pay him, but he's been doing all these unauthorized Michael Jackson tribute things, belts, all this stuff, you know, that the estate isn't approving, and he's getting shut down.
Oh, so, I didn't realize that was him. We saw that story late last week about the first anniversary celebration of his death or whatever, and that the Jackson family was not involved, but he was?
It's being thrown by this foundation, the Michael Jackson Foundation, which his kind of PR guy is fronting. I mean, his name's all over it. So there are always these connections to Joe Jackson.
Unbelievable. All right, last question on the Jackson deal, and that is, what's the relationship between Joe and Catherine now? Are they divorced or living separately or what?
They're living separately. I mean, they've been together, you know, forever, and, they're just kind of living separately. He, you know, I know something about this, and he still kind of tries to rule the family with an iron fist, and she does go along with things. I mean, he, you know, when he was over at the house after Michael died, and he was really controlling in a big, big way.
And in a bad way, right?
Yeah, and, you know, she kind of goes along with it. I mean, she's an elderly woman
who,
you know, is doing the best. She's really, I got to say, I mean, she's really admirable because she's trying. Randy's got these kids. Jermaine's got these kids that she's let live in the house, and it's just been really hard for her. I don't know. I mean, she's really an admirable woman, and just for him to take a shot like this is crazy.
I agree. It's sad. Let's turn our attention to Lilo, who TMZ broke the story over the weekend that she's lost yet another personal assistant. And Lindsay Lohan is the type of person who needs full-time help just to manage her day. Right, Harvey?
She really does. I mean, the people we've talked to say that without this, I mean, this assistant is her lifeline. And I know that sounds crazy for most people, but she literally can't function. I mean, she can't making appointments, going to these alcohol ed classes, all of the stuff that everybody would kind of do on their own. She's just got somebody guiding her, and that's just been the case for a long time now. So she's really never been on her own, so she needs an assistant. Now the question is, who's going to work for $400 a week with those hours and those demands?
24/7?
Yeah, that's insane.
Yeah.
Why is she paying so little?
You know.
Does she have to actually produce cash?
She doesn't have a whole lot of money, but we did this funny thing on the website. I mean, can you imagine the job description? You know, long drives down PCH.
Yeah, that's,
you know, that's you up with family members.
That's a hell job right there.
It is. And you know that Lindsay has got to be the type of person who shakes you awake at 2 a.m. and tells you to go out and find some prescription medicine for her or something,
well,
right?
The assistant was saying, you know, privately that, you know, she it was food runs, it was all sorts of crazy things in the middle of the night.
Yeah, prescription drugs is probably the most important thing. It's probably, I need some breath mints. What? It's 2 a.m. Go back to sleep. But you can't say no to her, right? I mean, that's basically a 24/7 job.
Yeah.
That's the problem with being an assistant. to somebody like that.
Wow.
Harvey, why can't she drive? Why is she legally prohibited from driving herself? I mean, obviously it's wise that she doesn't drive because she drinks, but other than that, there's a court order about her driving?
It was part of the probation because she was, remember, there were two DUIs in this case. So that's what happens. You get your license suspended. So that's one of the conditions. And the other condition is that, you know, she's the funny thing is everybody thinks she's not allowed to drink. Everybody thinks this scram stuff is going to affect this big probation hearing coming up in July, but it's not because the terms of probation didn't prohibit her from drinking. She's allowed to drink, and as long as she's not driving, obviously. So the scram stuff only has to do with bail. I know it gets a little bit complicated, but the bottom line is every drink she takes, bail is going to go up, so every vodka is going to cost $10,000.
Oh, interesting. That's expensive vodka.
I had not heard that before. Hey, real quick, Harvey, before you go, and I hope I'm not putting you on the spot and you can speak to this. You are an attorney. Let's not forget Harvey Levin is not only the gossip queen of Hollywood, but he is an actual real-life lawyer. This January Jones defense, if you walk away from an accident, go home, and then come back, no matter how drunk you are, they can't pin you with any kind of drunk driving because they can't say, you can argue that, hey, I took a drink when I got home, right?
Yeah, now she is saying there was no alcohol involved, so let's just make that clear.
Right, right. Okay. And I'm not alleging that. I'm just saying that does seem like a huge loophole if you're allowed to leave the scene of an accident and then come back and then be off the hook for any kind of drunk driving charge.
Well, here's the argument, that when you get in an accident that causes property damage and not injury, you have to leave your information and then you can go. She did leave her driver's license with somebody at the scene.
Right.
So technically she left her identifying information there, and so it's not hit and run because she left the information. Once she goes, when she comes back, it breaks the chain. So ultimately, it's real hard to show she was if she got some kind of a blood alcohol test, it's going to be real hard to show. Well, she was upset. She went home. She had a couple of drinks.
Right.
You know, it's like you don't know. So I'm not saying she was, but once somebody leaves the scene, it's real hard to prosecute them.
That does sound like a loophole that a lot of people's ears pricked up when they heard last week, thinking, hey, that may be the way to go next time.
How about not drinking and driving?
That is the way to go. But all I can say is what we just described is not something that's new to lawyers who get phone calls in the middle of the night from people.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
What if people on the scene say that they saw that they were drunk? Does that carry weight?
Well, no. I mean, there was one woman who said, look, I smelled alcohol, but the cops are saying, no, that she was okay.
Yeah.
But, you know, it still breaks the causal chain. That you really, to pin that on somebody, you really have to be able to catch them in the car. And by not doing that, you know, it's just going to be hard.
Okay. Outstanding. All right. Harvey Levin, TMZ.com is the site. Check your local listings for TMZ television. Have a great week, Harvey. Thanks for coming on the Kevin and Bean Show.
You too, guys. See ya.
Thank you. Bye. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Psycho Mike is filling in for Ralph as he is on vacation this week. A long-needed vacation for Ralph.
Yeah. The big stories in showbiz right now are the box office tops, two 80s remakes, The A-Team and The Karate Kid. Big surprise over the weekend. The Karate Kid taking number one with a bullet. $56 million for that remake. I don't think anybody anticipated it to be that successful, but Kevin, you were speculating earlier that they probably grabbed the kid audience.
A lot of kids, yeah.
I was one of the people speaking very loudly that we should boycott this movie because it's blasphemous they tried to remake.
Right, but most of the people who saw it
don't care.
Most likely didn't see
don't
the
care,
original.
No, and I found that I don't really pull that much weight.
That's what I was just thinking.
That's what I'm thinking, Lisa May.
You have zero
no
weight.
Point in doing
just
that anymore.
Just because Petros Money and I don't want people to go see this movie doesn't matter.
Not
making
no difference at all.
The A-Team, although it did pretty well, $26 million over the weekend, that has to be disappointing for a movie with that many big stars.
And what did it cost?
Yeah.
A lot.
Kevin saw the movie, a lot of explosions and a lot of stuff that probably cost a lot of money.
It's eye candy.
Yeah.
It's like, you know that going in, it's eye candy. You know it's going to be a little cheesy because they're trying to do it like the TV show. And,
right.
You know.
Another big story, Kim Kardashian
was
in a bikini over the weekend, and there's pictures of it. So just go to whatwouldtylerdurdendo.com, WWTDD.com, because that's where you'll see pictures of her full bosoms, barely covered up by a small, small bikini. Lindsay Lohan lost another personal assistant recently, and she goes through them like crazy. And you got to remember, Lindsay Lohan, because of her probation, Harvey Levin was just talking about it, she can't drive. And on top of that, her life's pretty much unmanageable without the help of someone else. And that's very sad, but that's also very common with drug addicts and alcoholics.
Right.
And it's sad to see this happening to an adult, a woman who can't live her life without the help of others. But that's what it's come to. And unfortunately, if she continues to surround herself with more yes people, she's never going to hit that bottom that all other drug addicts and alcoholics eventually do.
So wait, let me see if I understand this. So she, with an assistant, her behavior recently where she can't get to court and can't go, that's with an assistant.
Well, yeah. An assistant can only do so much.
But I'm saying, want to get out if of that's bed. With, what yeah. is without?
Kevin brings up a good point.
We'll find out, I
mean, if you don't have that assistant, she's going to be standing around a trash can fire, you know, out in the alleyway eating rats, you know, trying to give Hummers for beer money because it's going to be pretty bad. Her behavior has been completely inappropriate and unacceptable for a normal adult,
right.
even with people around her doing everything for her. So.
Right.
It can only get worse from here. On top of that, Lindsay was spotted this weekend shopping in Beverly Hills, and she's a little fat. And that's even worse. And I'm not
that's
even
not
kidding.
Worse.
Go to any of the celebrity gossip websites and check it out. She's got knee fat. I don't know how you pull that off.
Knee fat?
Yeah. And she's a thin person. Like, she's small bone.
So she only put on weight in her knees?
Just
no,
her
no,
knees.
No. She's got the weird condition of skinny fat, which is something that happens when you starve yourself. That's not a good means of dieting, people.
Right.
All you ladies out there especially, you think it's a good thing to skip breakfast and then just not eat till at nighttime, and maybe I'll go a couple days without eating, and that'll be even better. I'll lose weight. What you do is you end up losing all the bad weight, and then you get knee fat. Like poor Lindsay Lohan. No.
And knee fat is not good.
No. Then okay. You also get the A cups that somehow hit your navel. I don't know how you pull that off. That's what happens.
She doesn't have that yet.
No, she doesn't.
Not yet.
The McCourt family, they own the Los Angeles Dodgers. And they're going through a very public, very, very bitter divorce with a lot of acrimony. And
yeah, we haven't heard anything lately about this.
Well, this is a wacky story. And they've made a lot of... Although the Dodgers have won they've won the... Western National League West 2 years in a row and have been playing well. They've been behind the scenes making a lot of snafus and a lot of really weird and unorthodox decisions. This one might take the cake. According to the LA Times, for 5 years, they paid a guy, in quotes, scientist and healer, $100,000 to sit in his home in Boston and think positive thoughts while he watched the Dodgers.
No, that is not true.
This is a real story. This is the Los Angeles Times right here. Vladimir Spunt is his name, was able to supposedly improve the Dodgers' chances of winning by up to 15%. And they spent $100,000 a year to have him watch the Dodgers for 4 hours a day and beam positive thoughts back to them here in Los Angeles.
How do I get that deal?
I don't know.
$100,000 to sit and think about a team.
Yeah. And either he is a really, really wacky hippie type or just a genius who's laughing his ass off.
Right.
Just some Boston, you know, townie. Who is like going back to the bar saying, you'll never believe what I got the McCourts to pay me to do. celebrity birthdays. Boy George, 49 years old.
Never looked better.
A little puffy, maybe.
Writer,
a little bit.
No, not puffy Lisa Mae, Boy George.
Oh, stop.
Writer, director, Diablo Cody is 32. Some cripple from Glee. Is 22.
Little Stephen Hawking. Yeah.
There it is. Little Stephen Hawking. And I know, although it was yesterday, not today, friend of ours, friend of the show, great guy, Steve-O, turned 36 yesterday. So everybody wish him a happy birthday. That is the Ralph Show.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show. This is very funny. Behind the scenes, Bean is a Twitter stalker. He stalks Maria Menounos. And, of course, she is on Access Hollywood at 7:30 on NBC. And he's been seeing her wearing Celtics jerseys, so he wanted to have her on to talk about the series.
Right.
Bean's microphone just died, and he has no way of getting in contact with us other than the phone.
Hey,
so
this is not funny.
So Bean is on the phone
There's
now.
Nothing funny about this.
This is the funniest thing that's
this
ever
is
happened.
Not amusing. I love Maria Menounos, and by the way, I've loved Maria Menounos and wanted her on this show for 10 years.
Oh,
I know.
I love this so much.
For 10 years, I've wanted to talk to this goddess on our show, and now my microphone goes out like 5 minutes ago.
Wish us luck. Bye-bye now.
How are you going to come and be like that? Hey!
Adios, amigo.
Bye-bye. It's been great. Maria? Are you there? Maria?
Hi.
Oh, there you are.
Hi, Maria.
How are you guys?
We are good. Is there any way you can pick up the phone? Because we can barely hear you.
Will you pay for the ticket?
Yes.
I was just driving.
Hold on. I was just driving by cops. So I got nervous.
Much better. All right.
Okay, I'm being illegal right now. This is very bad.
Yeah. Way to go. Now, Bean says that he has a Twitter relationship with you. Is that true?
Yes.
Oh.
See? I'm telling you. It's the first step toward true love, you guys.
That's the wrong thing to say, Maria. That's not good. So you're a Celtics fan.
I am a huge, psychotic Celtics fan. I'm a very happy Celtics fan today, of course.
Yeah.
After last night's big win.
I would imagine.
And I've been saying it since Miami. We're going all the way. Who's joining me?
Not me. I'll tell you that right now. Now, Maria, you've been flying back and forth for all the games. Have you been to all of them?
I've been to many of them. I wasn't able to go yesterday because I had a birthday party here in L.A. Saturday night. And I couldn't look at my guests on Sunday morning and say, thanks for flying out. I'm leaving to go to the game right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I just kind of had to, you know, leave that one behind. I told Dane Cook, who I've been going to all the games with, he went. And I said, you have to represent for us. I said, and make sure you answer your phone because I'll trash talk through your speakerphone. So I'm still kind of there. And so I kept calling him with our test. So who got technical? It was against... Rondo got one. Pushing our test. I'm like, he didn't really even push him. He just poked him. The guy, like, completely flopped. I was pissed.
Rondo test is 225 pounds, and Rondo is 120.
Yeah,
exactly. So I was a little upset about that. But otherwise, you know, the game was amazing. It was so great to see
our guys
all at full power, you know, Ray Allen and Pierce and Garnett and Rondo. It was great.
It wasn't great.
I have a question for Maria. Sorry, can Maria hear me, Kevin?
I hope
probably
not. Maria, can you hear me?
I can hear you guys.
You heard that my microphone died 5 minutes before this interview, and I'm now talking to you on the telephone. You heard that, right? This is heartbreaking for me. But what's it like for you? You're going to the game tomorrow night. What's it like being, of all things, a Celtics fan, not only in Hollywood where everybody roots for the Lakers, but also at Staples Center when you're there? You're such a minority when you show up in all your Celtics gear. And I know you. You're a mouthy broad. I mean, you shout it. What's that experience like for you going into that den as a Celtics fan?
It's so fun. I have to say it can almost be more fun than even going to the Garden with my Celtics jersey on because I love being mouthy. And I love showing my Celtic pride in the middle of Laker heaven. And I love walking out a winner like I did the other night.
Why don't you just take it easy? Just take it easy, Maria.
Tomorrow's going to be the same thing.
All right.
Tomorrow I think I actually may get beat up because the other night when I went, these girls literally wanted to beat me up at the end. I'm like, I'm sorry, you guys can't handle the truth. We're going all the way. And they're like,
that's what you want to do is you want to wear a Celtics jersey and mouth off.
Maria Menounos gets into a fight over the Celtics. Not the headline I really want.
Now,
but...
do you understand the deep-seated hatred that Lakers fans have had their entire life for Celtics?
Of course I do.
Did you grow up in Boston?
I grew up in Boston. We hate the Lakers just as much as Lakers hate us.
You got rid of that accent. That's good. That's a super annoying accent.
Hey, Maria, let me ask you this, because I saw the piece you did on Access Hollywood a few weeks ago where one of your fantasies that came true was you got a chance to call the game. You got a chance to sit in with the broadcast team and call the Celtics game. You interview celebrities all the time on the Today Show and on Access Hollywood. Are you a little bit starstruck when you actually get around basketball players, though?
I don't know if it's starstruck or... I think definitely maybe a little, but more it's just I have such a passion for the sport, and I love my Celtics so much that, I'm giddy, I'm excited. I love them all so much. Someone asked me the other day at my party, who's my favorite Celtics player, and I said, all of them. I love the team. And I think that, again,
that's a bogus answer.
We are where we are.
That's a bogus answer, the team.
They called it a pageant answer, and I was like, ha.
It is.
That's kind of funny. But it's true. I love every single one of those guys. And by the way, that's why we're doing so well, because our bench is so strong, our entire team is so strong. And, you know, last night you watched, Kobe was like, tell them, give it to me. And he did great. But just like LeBron, it's not a one-man team, and you can't win off one guy.
How does it feel to have all of the wins in the season behind you?
Yeah! Listen to him.
Come on now.
I have to say,
I can't wait for every Laker faker to eat their words.
Ooh, she's bringing it today, Devin.
Wow, she is a mouthy broad.
So amazing. I'm going to walk around in my Celtics jerseys for a full week after.
Wow.
It's going to be the greatest ever.
Hey, what is this pre-game ritual that you and your friend Dane Cook, and don't get us started on Dane Cook, by the way, but what is this eating thing that you guys do for good luck before home games when you're in Boston?
So when we went to our first game together, I was like, Dane, we're home. We got to eat, stop at all our food spots. And so we stopped at our favorite food spots, and I mean, we ate, I mean, way, 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 way too much. But when we won that night, Brandy Garnett, Kevin's wife, and a few of the other wives were like, you guys have to do exactly the same thing. You are our good luck charms now. So
do you have to stuff yourselves?
Like, geez, we're going to be really, really big if we have to do this before every game. So we get to Boston for Tuesday's game. We did exactly the same thing we had done before.
And how that
and
worked
we
out.
Lost.
Yeah.
We lost.
Lucky you. So, now you don't have to do it anymore.
So we switched it up, but on Thursday, ironically, we still wanted to eat the same thing, minus one stop. And so, minus the one stop, we did the same thing, but we went to the children's hospital to visit the kids there. And I said, you know what, Dean? I looked at him after. I go, this might sound a little weird, but maybe the good deed will rub off on the Celtics.
Wow,
and
you're delusional.
Won.
and you attribute that to the children's hospital visit?
I mean, you know, of course it was a joke. I was like, oh, maybe, you know, it's doing a good deed, will rub off. But it did. With the kids, we made a Celtics scrapbook. So we had this big art project with all of them. It was all Celtics related. And
you have you've obviously seen the Celtics win a lot of games. That's why they're in the finals this season. But the toughest games to win have to be at home against Lakers at Staples Center. That's not it's not a guarantee. Even up 3-2 here, you know, Maria.
No. I'm not underestimating the Lakers at all. I mean, they're a great team, and you know, being at Staples is going to be really difficult, but we are a team that has overcome so many obstacles just to get here, and we're a great road team. So I think that the momentum is with us, and I really think we could get it done tomorrow night, and I am so excited.
Bean asked me earlier this morning, he said, you know, Maria Menounos is super hot. I said, yeah, of course. And he said, is the Boston Celtic thing a deal breaker? And I said, absolutely. And Bean's like,
absolutely.
I don't know. I don't know. I love her so much. I think I love her anyway.
It's not a deal breaker.
It's a deal breaker.
I'm willing to overlook that. That's the offer I'm making
wow.
to you here today, Maria.
Oh, we would have so much fun at games. You'd be a Laker faker. I'd be a Celtics, crazy woman, and we would fight, and then we'd make up later.
Don't tease him like that, Maria.
Now we're talking. Now
Come
we're talking.
On. He's going to talk about that for months. I went on a date. She asked me out.
Maria is awesome on Access Hollywood every night. You can see her
Whatever.
On Dateline NBC. You see her on the Today Show.
Whatever.
We put up a post at KevinandBean.com of a whole bunch of pictures of Maria, and I asked the question, is it a deal breaker that she happens to be a Celtics fan? So far, the response is coming back. I'm willing to give her a pass. But it has been a great series. And let's face it, Kevin, even you would agree as a Lakers fan. I mean, if you had your choice of anyone to play against in the NBA Finals, you'd want it to be Boston.
Yeah, of
this
course.
Is why basketball is great, is rivalries like this and seeing how they play out.
And that's why tomorrow
exactly.
and Thursday night are going to be so sweet.
Exactly. Right. Maybe not so sweet for you, my friend.
All right, Maria.
Maria, you're awesome. Let's do it again soon. Thank you so much for
Thank
coming on the Kevin
guys.
Beach Show.
Thank
Mwah.
You.
Bye
now.
Bye-bye.
Wow.
What are you going to do? You're in a pickle.
Nope, I'm not. Deal breaker. Bean's in a pickle.
Oh, man.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph is out on vacation this week. A very needed break for him.
Yeah.
So
right.
We're taking a look at the showbiz beat. Jessica Biel tries to stay off the paparazzi's radar, but has some limits when it comes to her privacy. She's toyed with the idea of dressing up in makeup and wearing wacky costumes to throw people off.
Yeah.
But she feels like that would just be a lot worse if they caught her.
Well, yeah.
Be more embarrassing.
Would be plastered everywhere, those
right.
pictures.
So she said, I thought about it, but then I decided I was just going to not go that route
yeah.
because it would be a little too embarrassing if I got caught doing it. And you can see that, right?
Yeah, totally.
Let's see. Diddy is talking about buying his 16-year-old son a $360,000 car when he was interviewed on Nightline. Martin Bashir asked him if he thought it was appropriate. He said that his kids probably could have used a little more of his personal time, but they're well taken care of and will go to good colleges.
That wasn't the question, by the way.
And my parenting skills are none of your business.
That's the answer
that's
to
how
the
he,
question. Yeah.
That's how he finished with it. I heard him in another interview, by the way, and He was great in Get Him to the Greek. Great.
Absolutely.
But every time he talks as Diddy, he drives me crazy.
Without a script.
Yeah, yeah. He's just so self-involved and just so self-centered. And
yeah, his kids are going to be that way, too.
He was talking about how he had a 200-inch TV. It's the world's largest TV. Sound like Donald Trump. World's largest TV set. It's 200 inches across. And the host asked him if he had any other TVs in the house. And Jimmy Kimmel's going to be very disappointed in this because I thought Jimmy had the most TVs of anyone I've ever met.
Yeah.
Diddy has TVs everywhere, kitchen, bathroom, everywhere. But he has one as he's leaving on his way out the front door. There's a 42-inch screen.
42 inches?
Yes.
To glance at while you're walking out the door.
Yes.
Are you not entertained? Are you not entertained?
And the announcer said, the guy that was interviewing him said, well, he said, it's not very big, though. And he said, how big is it? He said, 42 inches. He said, that's not big. 42 inches is huge.
Yeah.
And that's for the...
That's my main TV.
That's for the 4 seconds between when he turns the corner and he's walking out the door.
He is entertained all the time.
Yeah, he is. He's bad in every way. Miley Cyrus apparently is getting in some more trouble. She's 17 years old, and she needs to put on some clothes. Star Magazine has pics of the 17-year-old singer in a low-cut bodysuit and cut-off T-shirt that barely covers her chest and a short dress with cutouts on the side.
Ooh.
She's 17. Is she going to go right to porn when she turns 18? You think? I mean, like, that day?
I'm shocked that there isn't already some footage that has leaked.
Yeah, but there's a difference between that and
illegal.
Porn.
Well, yeah, but I'm saying porn.
But she has money. She doesn't have to do that.
But she's Miley Cyrus.
Well, that's true. Good point.
Backwoods. Hey, give me the situation song. I got to play the situation. The Situation has a song now from Jersey Shore. He raps.
It's amazing how these kids they discover from nowhere, put on TV, and they have all this talent that nobody even knew about and would never know about unless they happened to end up on that show.
Yeah.
For instance.
Yeah, for instance. Here's the Situation's new.
DJ, get it in like that. Grab some ass, drink some yak. I ain't doing shit till I get my cash. Yeah, where the ladies at? I ain't by the bar to get drunk alone. I'm gonna take a hottie home. She's...
That is, that's the Situation. And
that's
the name of that
great.
Song is The Situation.
That's the name of everything he does.
So there's that. Hey, Bean, how's it going?
I'm not having fun. I can't believe I got the Maria Menounos curse. What happened?
Yeah.
How did this happen?
Bean so loves Maria Menounos and has been
dying. The show was going
along.
Everything was fine. We were all having a good time. And then like 5 minutes before she was coming on, my microphone just died. Has it ever died in all the years
no.
I've been doing this show?
But you know what that is? That's God telling you he doesn't want you to talk to Maria.
I'm so sad right now.
You'll be fine.
Hey, my favorite showbiz story of the day we haven't had a chance to get to today. Do you mind if I do one?
Sure.
Have you been following the controversy about whether Sarah Palin has breast implants or not?
No,
yes,
I haven't.
I've seen some of it.
She showed up at the Belmont Stakes, that horse race in New York that's part of the Triple Crown, and she was wearing an outfit the other day that made her look super busty. So the bloggers just went crazy with that. And it got to the point, I mean, the chatter was so loud on whether she had boobs or not, and people were posting before and after pictures and saying, what do you think? And there was all this speculation. So she finally had to address it. She was on with Greta Van Susteren, the girl, you know, that woman on Fox whose smile is falling off her face?
Oh, yeah, mm-hmm. She's all janky?
She was on that show the other day, and she said, here's the quote, no, I have not had implants. A report like this is about as real and truthful as reports that Todd and I are divorcing, or that I bought a place in the Hamptons, or that my son Trigg is not my own child. I guess a lot of bored, idle bloggers and reporters with nothing else to talk about have nothing else to do, and it ends up wasting everyone's time.
That's a confirmation to me.
As far as I'm concerned, she just admitted it.
Right.
And, I did put over the weekend, I'm one of those bored and idle bloggers and reporters. I did put before and after pictures up at KevinDeBee.com over the weekend if you want to check it out.
Is it possible that it's just like a push-up bra?
Yeah.
Oh, of course.
It definitely is possible. And I don't think, I mean, honestly, look, Sarah's, you know, she's a good-looking woman. She doesn't need breast implants anyway. But I also don't think in the job, the profession that she has chosen, I don't think there's any way in a million years she would go out and get them. I just think that would be such a turnoff to so many of her supporters. I just think it's out of the question.
Are you kidding? Yeah. All of her supporters are looking right there.
Yeah, but I'm saying there are so many people who would be turned off who would think that it was fake and blah, 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 blah. Look, she's already a gilf. She doesn't need implants. She looks fine.
Gilf. That's, gilf? Not, yeah, grandma.
Oh. Oh. Dear God.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Celebrity birthdays. Donald Trump, 64 years old today. He's going to have the best birthday that anyone has ever had, ever.
I'm sure.
Singer Boy George is 49.
Yeah.
Not a good-looking 49. He's aging poorly.
Yeah.
He's drugs and, you know, remember when he called the police and then he got robbed by the...
Oh, my God, and he was unrecognizable.
Just who knows what's going on with that guy. Yasmin Bleeth is 42.
Mm-hmm.
that sounds so
funny.
That's a pathetic bell. Diablo Cody is 32?
Yep.
No? And Kevin McHale, not the basketball player from the 80s, the Celtics, but the little Stephen Hawking, as we call him on
Glee. The kid in the wheelchair on Glee.
The kid in the wheelchair on Glee.
Yeah.
Is 22, and that is the Ralph Showbiz Beat. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Hopefully, Bean will have his microphone fixed by tomorrow. I'm guessing not, but hopefully.
Yeah,
you can always hope. Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean Show, we have Frank Shamrock in the studio.
Yeah.
Wow.
Talk
He's
a little
awesome.
MMA.
Mm-hmm.
There were some great fights over the weekend. Some great fights.
There's so many sports to pay attention to. How do you do it?
Just watch it all the time.
Wow.
Yeah, I watched soccer, and then I watched basketball, and then I watched the
and
fight
then the
Saturday
fights,
night.
Too.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it's good stuff. It's good. It's a good time. And
all
then it's all going to end, and then there's just going to be baseball, and I'm going to take my life. We're going to do the Cinnamon Challenge tomorrow. Psycho Mike was on vacation last week and has heard all the rumblings.
You're going to try now?
Beer Mug tried it and failed, and then Gaga tried it and failed,
yep.
And then Miss Cleo tried it and failed. Mike's a guy who's like, oh, pfft, easy, easy. That's him. So he's going to try it tomorrow morning.
Okay.
We also have IJustMadeLove.com, a new website we want to tell you about. And we will talk to Spencer Pratt. Coming up on tomorrow morning's Kevin and Bean Show.
All right.
Cat's next. How's it going? Bean good?
Yeah, it's fine. Everything's good.
40 minutes nonstop. She's got, I don't know.
Chili peppers?
Chili peppers. She's
That's a good guess.
Sublime.
She's got some Sublime and more as part of 40 minutes nonstop K-Rock.